Al-Qaeda was released from hell back in 1990. But luckily, from the area where I come from, it was again in 1985, the 11th of February, Honorable Mkhalakhe, when Gonsad stood up and said, away with apartheid and its oppression. It was in 1985 on the 11th of February. So to me, this is one of the most important days, especially with regard to the legacy of Tata Madiba, where today we'll be discussing issues that are more of paramount importance to our communities out there. I hope and believe that this meeting is going to be one of the best meetings, because it's the best meeting during this year of 2015. Allow me then to welcome all our members from your long recess. I hope you enjoyed and I will hear to another Manopole your recess. Allow me also to welcome officials who have been supportive to our cause, and also officials particularly from the office of the minister who are also present in here. Most importantly, allow me to welcome the reps from the Mutuba Tuba local municipality who requested the committee to give them a hearing. And I think it's in line with the provision of the constitution that we afforded them the opportunity to come and do a representation, because the act is very plain in terms of section 69 that any person who wishes to appear or to submit a petition or do a representation before the committee can do so, we know that we can deny them that opportunity. Allow me then to welcome the mayor. I think you'll be afforded an opportunity to introduce yourself quickly. Let me ask everyone quickly, starting with honorable members, to start introducing themselves. I can see that we also have people who are alternate. Let me also take this opportunity to welcome them, but also reminding them that we have the rules of the National Council of Provinces, especially in terms of their role within the committees. But nonetheless, you're welcome. I hope you also benefit the opportunity to participate, although you are not going to be granted an opportunity to vote in case the committee votes. But nonetheless, you are all welcome. Maybe I should start on my explaining for honorable members in those instances.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, members. My name is Humisani Kiri, permanent delegate from the Western Cape. Thank you very much.
Yeah, level one, bless you. Bless. Now, I can't start a while to reason. I'm a little quiet on this day. I get like a little impulse. Yeah, level one, bless you.
Lena la ka ke tsa go mo koi tswa go bo koni pire go re tsena metsi teng ke member ya committee permanent.
Tumelang ba khale bona ke ntumo se kaula from KwaZulu-Natal. I'm a member of all committees of the NCOC.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, and guests. I'm Elvis Van Lingen from the Eastern Cape. This being the wrong button. I'm from the Eastern Cape, and I am just visiting to see how these things pan out, because there are a couple more to come by the looks of it.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Mkhalakhes. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Good morning to everyone. My name is Mervyn Chetty. I'm a permanent delegate from the province Kailid and the Hotels in Kanga.
Hello, Rognet. My name is Mahmoud Mshanga. I live under the committee from Mpumalanga.
Ke nna ga lereko Mase Manokolo, leloko la komiti go tswa go ka bokone. Ke a leboga.
chairperson. My name is Service One, permanent Cape from the Eastern Cape. I'm the member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the guests and guests. My name is Louis Mandi, and he's from Kakwa, Sulu Natal. This is the Kessel Gondo,
Mr. Rose. Do you agenda for the officials an opportunity?
Good morning, all of my officials. My name is Moss Malera, and I'm the
Kessel. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rosana Mbuso. I'm the content advisor for the committee.
Morning, my name is Mkuse Lubele, Kosher Advisor from the.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jennifer Thorpe. I'm a representative to the committee focusing on women's issues. Good morning, members. My name is Stephanie Matthews. I'm also a representative to the committee focusing on youth issues.
Good morning, members. My name is Emma Gazimbatela.
My name is Emma Gazimbatela. I'm from committees.
Good morning. My name is Gail Eddy. I'm from Elders Parliamentary Office.
A very good morning, members. My name is Lebohang Tegani, Minister Cocteau.
Good morning, honorable members. Tando Nchemeza, Minister Cocteau.
Good morning, Tepo Hase from the Department of Cooperative Governance. Thank you.
Gentlemen, is here in Mayor Fahia.
Good morning, my name is Ralph Naval. I'm the researcher for the HIV team at the DA.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Cameron Orange. I'm the media officer for the DA and COP caucus.
Come again?
The media officer for the DA and COP.
Good morning, members. My name is Adelaide Mohale. Good morning, members. My name is Adelaide Mohale. I'm the IGR manager of the chairperson. Mohale.
Good morning, members. My name is Gulle Kongwani from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much. I think we have offered everyone an opportunity. My name is Jihad Mohati, the chair of the committee, of the select committee of COPTA. Can I then afford the opportunity to the reps from Tubaduba local municipality to introduce themselves?
My name is Mr. Sim Kwanazik from Dubaduba local service.
Your designation, please.
The mayor of Dubaduba.
I'm Miguel Chalo. My name is Zakele Nyawo, the speaker of Dubaduba municipality.
Honorable Chairperson and members, my name is Musawenko Sikri Nkwanazi from Tubatuba Municipality, ECHO member.
You said that name is Nkwanazi also. You are looking for the name.
Chairperson, Tubatuba is our host, Allah, and it's our local community.
Because we are going to afford us an opportunity. We have indicated that we will afford them an opportunity for 15 minutes. Once again, let me also take back to the provision of the Constitution, reference in specific Section 69. Section 69, subsection A of the debate, the National Council of Provinces or any of its communities may receive petitions, representations, or submissions from any elected persons or institution. I think the context should be in line with the provision of Section 69 of Section D of our Constitution. That is why we are affording the Mtubatuba local municipality an opportunity
to come and do a representation to the committee of the Select Committee. I think that should be our understanding. Without any waste of time, allow me then to give them an opportunity to present to us. Other representatives?
Chair, just to be on the safe side, can we be served with a copy of the letter that they wrote to us?
Okay. Do you have a copy, Mr. Chair? Can I check whether we can possibly drive you away to a copy of a letter so that we should be in a position to familiarize ourselves in terms of the content of the letter? I'll analyze the letter, maybe we'll ask the mayor when, as and when they do presentation, just to lead you on the submission of the letter that is going to us. Do you mind to afford him an opportunity to go through the letter and requesting, I mean, just to give an indication of the content of the letter?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I read the letter?
Yes.
Honorable Chairperson, the letter was written Friday 6th, February 2015, raised reading on Mtubatuba local municipality. Sir, we have been advised that the Select Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs we on Wednesday 11th February 2015 be briefed by the MEC of the Provincial Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on the procedural successes and the constitutionality of the notice of intervention issued in terms of Section 189(1)(c) of the Constitution of 1996 to Mtubatuba local municipality. Parliament that it has been elected by people to represent them. The NCOP should be aware of all activities that give the voice to the people as required by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. It is in that background that I hereby wish to submit to you the Chairperson of NCOP that following the intervention in Mtubatuba local municipality, which is Section 189(1)(b) has not been seen progressive enough in terms of service delivery and improvement in the running of municipality. The district municipality is not performing at all, as a result that has a negative impact in local municipality. And on the other hand, the MEC is not doing what she's supposed to be doing in terms of intergovernmental relations. As a representative of Mtubatuba local municipality, Council, we request to be afforded an opportunity to present and explain to the committee of the NCOP about the MEC's current intervention. In this regard, we hereby submit a formal request to be afforded an opportunity to interact with the Select Committee on Cooperative Governance and the Traditional Affairs in order to enable the Select Committee to make an informed decision. Such an opportunity would uphold the principle of autonomous rule. Further, we would like the committee to confirm in writing that intervention will not be approved without us being afforded an opportunity by the committee to state our case in Mtubatuba local municipality. We hope that this request to reach your favorable consideration and will receive your urgent attention. Well, this is to the people may have Mtubatuba local municipality.
That's the
content
of the letter. But like I
said,
we indicated that we accepted it specifically on the basis of Section 69, Subsection D of the Constitution. It says any person can do a representation before the committee. The content of the letter is something else. So I'm saying on that note, allow me then to afford the mayor an opportunity to do a presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greeting to Chairperson, members of the committee, and officials present today. It's a pleasure to us to be afforded an opportunity to present ourselves on the committee for the first time in history. We are pleased to have Chairperson. I will be brief because of time, Chairperson, because I've submitted my handout for the committee to read. The introduction is as follows. We have been advised that the Select Committee on Cooperative Government and Regional Affairs will be briefed by the MEC for Provincial Development of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs of the procedural successes and the constitutionality of the notice of intervention issued in terms of Section 189(1)(c) of the Constitution 1996 to Mtubatuba local municipality. The dissolution of Mtubatuba municipality council and the appointment of an administrator must be warranted by exceptional circumstances. Whether these circumstances exist is objectively determinable. The onus is on the provincial executive to show the existence of such circumstances. In the absence of the existence of such circumstances, it may not be appropriate for the provincial executive to dissolve the municipal council. Accordingly, this presentation seeks to present an act against the validity of the grounds presented by the Honorable MEC Nomsa Dube Nube as reason for the dissolution of the council. The Honorable MEC Nube, in her letter dated 5 November 2015, presented the following reason for the dissolution.
Please, Honorable Member, can you afford the mayor an opportunity to do the presentation? If there is any clarity to the question, will be afforded.
Correction, sir. 8/5/2015. Surrender the following reason for the dissolution of council. Financial difficulty, special difficulty, lack of commitment to the recovery plan, council overnight or lack thereof. Financial management and court opinion. I've included a table where three congressmen from the 2011 to 2012-2013 three financial years. We are having the disclaimer from 2011-2012. The following year we have qualification that last year, which is 2013-2014, is an unqualified positive movement. In this meeting on the 29th January 2014, the council approved the audit action plan to address issues raised by the Auditor General. The council has approved the 2018 annual report. I have evidence for that. For the action plan, if the committee needs it, I can provide it. Cash and cash equivalent. The financial position of the municipality has tremendously improved from what it was 3 years ago. As at June 24th, the municipality has 6 million bank overdraft. As at June 2018, the municipality has 1.6 million at the bank and 894,000 at the end of June 2014. The bank balance at 31 January 2015 is 23 million, or 23 million, you see. My church. The municipal council approved its 2014 budget as per legislative requirement on 3 June 2014. I got certificate, a resolution certificate with me. If required, I can provide it as for copies. Service delivery. Mtobaduba Municipality Council approved its 2014-2015 integrated development plan review on 3 June 2014 and was submitted to MEC Corporate Government and General Affairs for her comments. The MEC has provided her comment and none of the matters raised by the MEC lately were raised in her comment on the recent ITP comments. I also have the resolution certificate for ITP. For the purpose of service delivery, Ntobaduba Municipality is heavily reliant on the municipal infrastructure plan, which is NIC. In the financial year under review 2018-2014, Ntobaduba Municipality was officially rated to be the top three for performance and expenditure on municipal infrastructure grant. I also have proof with me if needed. On the grant received for capital project aimed at accelerating service delivery, 100% of the grant was spent as per the ITP and as a result thereof, it is rather difficult to understand anyone who would ask that there are challenges regarding service delivery. Attached to this report is a table of all capital projects which attached to the claim made here that there was 100% expenditure on the grant received. The table is in it. I have it. If you need that, can you copy it? I have it here. Council's functionality. I have included a table on the functionality of council. When did we have all council, months, time, everything. The table is included. There are countries because the table is included. I have minutes as a proof that we did have that one and the certificate of resolution also. Recovery plan. The recovery plan was presented to the municipal council on the 27th June 2014 and it was adopted by the council in that meeting. The item on the progress report 20 October 2014 was presented.
Item on the report 12
December 2014
was presented.
I got minutes with me. Yes. In terms of the terms of reference, regarding the duties and functions of the ministerial representative, also known as administrator. The administrator ratifies all decisions of the municipal council and its committees prior to implementation. The administrator of Mtumatuma, who is, by this office appointment, the eyes and ears of the MEC of KZN Kofta, has continuously been submitting reports to council regarding the municipal recovery plan, and this plan has received cooperative from municipal council. This his most recent report, November 2014, tabled by the municipal representative, gives a detailed account of progress made insofar as the recovery plan is concerned. To make reference to the matters raised by the MEC, versus her representative, the administrator, the following can be noted as the administrative summary. Leadership and oversight percentage is that I could have covered the plan with me. If needed, you can be copied. It's reflecting what I've written here. All this percentage on the recovery plan. In conclusion, Chairperson, the above figures presented to the administrator gives a clear indication that of the troubled municipality KZN Mtumatuma cannot be among those which warrant the MEC to evoke Section 891C and dissolve the municipality. It would seem to be in the best interest of the SOP to set a consult on the matters before ratifying this decision, which the SOP has already declared. We refuse to believe that the SOP blindly rushed a fair decision without applying its own collective wisdom on such matters. We believe that it would be in the best interest of the SOP to consider conducting its own working visit to Mtumatuma. There are other political matters at play that we cannot bring to this dignified house. However, we believe that if the SOP could conduct such a visit, then it would so appear that there are absolutely no reason to dissolve into Mtumatuma municipality.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor. On that note, it concludes the presentation on the side of the Mtumatuma. I'm not sure if there's any additions from the side of the reps that accompany me. In the absence, can we then allow our members to give with the presentation? Any comment on the presentation? Now, Tungi, Honorable Wana, Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Chairperson, we need to welcome the report from the mayor and his council. But I think to me, Chairperson, it would be good that we can also get the presentation from the MEC. Therefore, we can compare the notes instead of screening, but for the clarity of what he said, we can do that. But I think we need to get a presentation because we don't know why the MEC, according to the policy that we get it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Remember earlier on, I indicated that we are on a fact-finding mission. And the impression that you must not create is that we are doing what is contrary in terms of the provision of the Constitution, particularly Section 189. Here, representation is made per request. And we must not emerge out of this meeting as if we are mediating between the municipality and the NEC. Instead, what we are doing, this is a separate matter where the municipality requested representation, and we are affording them, I mean them, an opportunity to do a representation before the committee. Not necessarily to compare. I'm saying if you feel there are issues that you want clarity on the basis of the presentation, just interact with the presentation. Honorable one.
Thank you, Chairperson. First and foremost, I would like to accept the report as presented by the mayor. But I want to have a few clarities. First and foremost, there are structural parameters of an issue in the municipality that will be necessary. Dubai, have you got an audit committee? Have you got impact? Have you got those structural issues that focus in trying to make a clear policy principles? Secondly,
have you, in the planning, you said currently you have got 23 million. And my question is, this 22 million is the current budget that you are running in. If in this 22 million, MIG is included. I wanted to have those answers. I will come back with other questions. Thank you, Charles.
Can I have a question?
You said you want to have a question. No one, I didn't clean up well. Maybe a clarity in terms of structural arrangement within the institution. Issues of audit committee, impact, budget, which is being said currently is equal to the 3 million. My question of clarity, the MIG is it included? Those are three currencies that I'm speaking in the presentation.
Oh, you could make it MIG and what?
And MIG within the budget that they are having on hand to be purchased the 2 million.
What are you referring to a unit?
Structural design of the organization.
Allow one color.
Thanks for the presentation, Mr. Mayor. What I would like to find out is what is the relationship like between the political arm of the council and the administration? Because in your presentation, you have not said anything about the administration. Do you have a smooth administration? Do you have hiccups? What is it like in terms of the operations of your administration? Just wanted to find out on that side, on that way. Thank you.
Any other question? Can I, Honorable Louis Zeman?
I must follow. The question that I relate to the governance. As I said earlier on, I come from the same province and I read some of these things in newspapers, and, you know, what's happening in municipalities, so I must be sure. But the question I'm having is, because I think it's a matter that it's public knowledge, Chair, but I think it's important to hear that here as well, is the issue of the leadership at the council. I think the mayor is a brand new mayor, so I think he's not even 20 days in office, I think. If my reading of his papers is correct. And so there's been the issue of the leadership, whether of the opposition, the speaker, the mayor, the deputy mayor, the acting, and that kind of thing. So there's been that kind of situation that has been not once, in my reading, is twice, there's been changing this person and that person and this person and that person. It was just the mayor to share information or confirm some of these things with us.
Okay, when you take in the can I give another demo for?
Thanks for the presentation, Mayor. Like Honorable Kaula has just alluded, the issue of political relationship amongst parties that are in council, how is the relationship among those parties, and also in terms of your report, I think you are in section 1391B. Do you, as a municipality director, have some progress in terms of the guidelines or the issues that were raised by the department prior the intervention? Thirdly, I would comment on the issue of consistency. I understand, Chairperson, that according to the presentation of the mayor, there is a letter forwarded to you, because I've been out for quite some time. I don't know whether you have, we have entertained that. But I was entertained the issue of intervention, re-intervention by the department to the South Municipality.
I don't understand your question. Maybe you can try me.
The reason for us to be in this meeting, we were requested by the council to come and make presentation.
By the mayor.
By the mayor to make a presentation to us.
Yes.
And by the look of things, there's a letter to you from the department. The letter to the select committee from the department to him. Maybe there is a letter the chairperson selects to come to on cooperative governance and traditional affairs. CEO Gok 58 on attention, Mr. J.M. Mohati. This letter was written, actually was submitted or fed to you on the 2nd of February 2015. It says intervention in terms of section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. At Mugatuba local municipality.
Yes, let's proceed, Madam Member.
Yes, my point was that after listening to what the mayor has presented to us as a committee, or as a committee, we need to be consistent in making decisions. And we need to re-evaluate or to evaluate the progress in terms of whatever intervention that the government is...
Honourable Member, can I establish what was the relevance of your question to the presentation?
The relevance of the question towards the presentation is consistency in no. our side.
No, no, I'm saying internal matter that needs to be attended internally. Can it be currently we are focusing on the presentation that has been made by the Honourable Mayor before us. So you must specifically focus on it because you can't enter
the
Honourable, with your respect, I'm addressing you. I am saying our focus for now is specifically on the presentation made by the Mayor. In case of anything that has to do with the MC of COPT or the committee, we'll still have that privy to sit among ourselves after this presentation to look at issues that are more direct to us as the committee. We'll be afforded an opportunity when we come to that. But okay, focus on the presentation by the Honourable Mayor, please. Any other question or clarity question on the
second? Oh, you are cutting me off, Chairperson.
If you are done.
Okay, that's fine.
Are you done?
It's like you are suppressing me because I was...
No, no, I'm saying if you are irrelevant, then the chairperson of the meeting has got the power vested on me to call you to order. I'm saying specifically... No way that you can pass a matter that has to do with COPTA letter on the presentation made by the mayor.
I think, Chairperson, as a member of this committee, I have the right to say what I want to say without any interruption.
No, Honorable Tebo, with due respect, there are rules that are writing the meeting procedures. And in this case, there is no way that you can discuss two separate matters over the table. You must focus on the first one, deal with it, and thereafter, any other matter that you wish to raise, you will be afforded an opportunity. But I'm saying, for now, what you are raising is irrelevant to the matter that is before us.
It was not irrelevant to you, Chair, because I was still talking, then you interrupted me. You directly defocused my intentions. I'm now lost. I don't know what I was trying to say because you interrupted my speech while I was speaking. You could have listened to me and have points clear what I was trying to say on this matter. But thank you, Chair. I will come back again.
Thank you. Can I give Honorable George, Honorable JT, and Honorable Monopoly, then you'll be the last to this round of questions.
Thank you, Chair.
Then I'll come to you, the last one, Honorable Chair. Honorable George?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to refer you to the document that the MEC sent through. It refers to section 49 of the NPRA. Says due to the municipality, that's page 30, due to the municipality not publishing the valuation roll in accordance to section 49 of the NPRA, the municipality may not be in a position to raise the full revenue budgeted property rates in the ballpark of the 2014-15 financial year. Now, it is just strange that the bank balance went from 1.6 million one year to just below a million rand, and then all of a sudden up to 23 million rand. Can we perhaps have two indications? The first is, what is the recovery rate of the municipality of own income, taking into account what the document of the MEC says about the evaluation role? And secondly, can we have a breakdown of that 23 million rand? Where does the 23 million rand all of a sudden come from? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I give out with Chair?
Thank you, Chair. So I think the first thing I want to say to the delegation from the council is they can let their fears be allayed that the NCOP does not represent whatever the MEC says. There are previous incidents where we debated with that. So let me just make it very clear in the chair, because I have to compare to the fact where perception is stated that the religious rubber stamp, because we don't. And that's here on page 9. I'm not clear that to the division. We don't rubber stamp whatever the MEC says. We make a decision after interrogation report, and there's a reason that you are here. Thank you, Chair.
Someone cell phone that is very irritating us. Can I have you make a request that we all should offer our cell phones?
Thank you, Chair. Secondly, Chair, I want to welcome the report by the municipality. In view of the fact that we do concur, there are discrepancies in the report submitted by the MEC to us, the one that we have in opposition, and the one that you have not presented before. And so that's more the reason why I believe that the current leadership has also explained to us why is it that we should not be acceding to the MEC's request to invoke Section 1 in the OIC. Because let's be serious. You are the very same council who has served the municipality since 2011. From the report I have here, Chair, the makeup of the ESCO was 3 of the ANC, 3 of the AFP, 1 of the NFP. When you look at the report and you look at the members that constituted the previous leadership as opposed to the current leadership, that's my last index. But surely, Chair, if we are saying, and we are serious about taking service of these people and making people the priority, why is it that the current leadership did not exercise the very same, let's just say, the concern that they are now talking about going forward, whilst they were still within the council? Because what was on right here, that we must take responsibility. I agree about the political inviting, so I'm aware of what's happening, similar to my former comrade of
respect. I think this letter that you are clarifying can only very when we conclude as a committee. What is your observation, please?
Sure,
if you don't have any other input.
Thank you.
No, Honorable Anopole.
Okay.
No, Honorable Tomo, with due respect, I know you are here and I have acknowledged your presence. Please, you have afforded an opportunity. There's no way that will be sufficient. Honorable Mokwele, please. Honorable Manuko.
Thank you, Chen. Mine is also short. I'm just going to elaborate more. I think mine is I'm covered by the issue that was raised about around the revenue breakdown besides the grants that are benefiting. So one of the members have raised the issue of the grant. I just want to reiterate with the issue that is there on page 9 with regards to for us rubber stamping. It's the nice at the back. The entropy is not rubber stamping. Reiterate what you have said in the beginning of the meeting. The reason why we onboarded the executive, the mayor and the executive council present here is based on Section 69 of the Constitution. It's not according to even our rules of NSOB with regard to Section 30. The issue of us being able to present afford other stakeholders opportunities on Section 170 and others. But this one, it has been specified it. So we should not forget that what we have raised in the beginning of the meeting, saying that this is based on Section 69 of the Constitution and be able to know that. But this one really needs clarity, whether it comes from why they have been created. Because now we say in black and white, they need to clarify to us.
Okay, and so we run very rampant decisions.
So because of the reason why we gave them the opportunity based on 69, now saying to us that we're not taking a collective
decision. Your point is taken.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, councillors, for bringing this information into our committee. It helps us in applying our mind at a later stage when we are arriving at determination. But, Chair, there are just one thing that I wanted them to talk to. On the page, I'm sure it's fast, yeah. Page 5, there's stipulated that 2011, 12, 13, 13, 14, audit, you know, opinion from the AD says this and that. But I would want to hear from them, Chairperson, to say from 2011 to where we are today, the stability of the municipality. Key areas that I wanted them to talk to. From 2011 to where we are today, also taking into what Honorable Zimane said, how many mayors have been in place from 2011 to where we are? How many municipal managers have been in place from 2011 to where we are? How many CFOs have been in place from 2011 to where we are? I'm saying this, Chair, because these are the key areas that with them, they will not tell you what progress the municipality is doing. I know that we don't have time yet. I was going to finally ask them to talk to the terms of reference of the administrators as he or she was appointed to the municipality as to what were the issues that were attached to the appointment of the administrator. Have they, you know, discussed those terms of reference in terms of the way they've been, you know, guided through? But I know because of time, they may not be able to do that, but I got these areas that will make me to say I've concluded my engagement with the councillors as the meeting before them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, I can see that you have members of the public, they're welcome. Can I quickly give you an opportunity to conclude what you wanted to conclude so that you afford me? If you are fine, I'm glad. I think I wanted to place it on high court. Mayor, I just want to establish, in terms of the Municipal Structures Act, you are not the executive mayor, you are the mayor. Do you have, are you aware of your designation in terms of your responsibility? In case you have that, can I establish, when you resolve to write a letter to us, where was the municipal meeting? You respond to them when you respond to all questions. Where was the mayor then too? In terms of the municipal manager, my apology. Yes. Where is the municipal manager? Why is the municipal manager not part of your delegation? Then too, if we check in terms of your presentation, you indicated in terms of your presentation, you indicated that your MID spending is 100%. I'm not sure if you perhaps have a copy of the Auditor General report. Auditor General's report. In terms of the Auditor General's report, if you go to notes of the Auditor General, note 12 of the annual financial statement, it indicates something different from what you are presenting to us. I'm not sure if perhaps you have a copy of the Auditor General's report. Note of the annual financial statement, note 12, it says it was contrary in terms of the MIG spending. And is the recent Auditor General's report, the findings of the Auditor General. Maybe if you can clarify that particular aspect, if perhaps you have any idea on it. If you don't have, don't commit yourself, because anything that you'll be raising here, you'll be perhaps raising it under oath by virtue of you being part of this meeting. Can I then afford
the Honourable Mayor an opportunity to respond to all questions. And in case we leave others behind, would also give an opportunity. Where there's been comment, I think if you feel like making any comment, all the comments made will also be afforded an opportunity. Then you can start.
Thank you, Thank you, Chairperson, and members of the committee. I'll try to respond to most of the questions as much as I can. To those questions that I will fail to respond, because we are not having some official with us who can assist us in the technical question. Maybe I think it would be wise to just give the background, because when I read most of the questions, it's talking about the background from 2011, and most of those things have been covered if I explain from 2011 to the end. That was just not a question. Chairperson, we were elected in 2011 May 21. In our first meeting, about 31st May 2011, when we came to municipality, the municipality was not having a municipal manager. The municipality was not having a CFO. The municipality was having a director of planning or technical, who he contracted was already at last. Actually, there was one director on the time, it was director corporate, who was offered 3 to 4 months, and it's called last private one. Then when we came to the municipality, there was a problem of there was no fund at all. The municipality was operating on a negative balance of an overdraft, where there was no money. Even the first salary for councillors and officials was a problem. There was no money at all. When we came, the few days, maybe 20 days after, 20 days in June, the SMMM resigned immediately and go. The CFO was there, did resign and was expected just to save us for a short while. And after that, actually, there was one director, there was no special 56 accounts on that municipality. Then it was very hard for us to have no fund managers, to have no CFO, to have no senior officials. It means we start things from scratch, with a negative balance. Even there was no salary to pay employees and all councillors. If we were supposed to get salary on the first month of June, there was no salary. We waited until 10 days to have an overdraft bank approve few rents to pay of a certain million. Therefore, we started from nothing. Then we advertised the position of municipal manager on the same year, which is 2011. But if I'm not mistaken, it was on September, I can't recall the date. We advertised the position of municipal manager to try to appoint municipal manager who will assist us to employ some 1,350 and 1,350. After we advertised, we got interviews that happened between September, October. Then on the before the 1st of November, there was a motion against the leadership which was there on that time, 2011. May. Yes. Same here. The reason for that, if we were supposed to have the council, mayor used to run away. Because we were marching, because we don't have funds, we don't have fund manager, if we're supposed to find any official, he ran away to call interview. Therefore, the council took a motion against the leadership. Therefore, we elect a new mayor who managed to have interviews. And we appoint a municipal manager. His appointment letter was 1 November 2011. Few days after that, we received a letter from MEC, Cooperative Government, who took us to court, challenging the qualification of municipality and the credibility and the way we appoint municipal manager. Fortunately, the case went to court on February, therefore we were in High Court in March 2. We managed to win the case. Actually, the department withdrew the case because the ground for their objection was qualification. The man was really relevant to qualification, but he was a director for more than 5 years. That is now 2012. Same 2012, Section 187 was implemented, which the gentleman was to Mero Rata. Section 187 of intervention was implemented in 2012. I think it was April 31st.
Then the man who was appointed, we cooperate with that man. One of his key responsibilities was MPRA, was within the terms of reference for Section 187 administrator. The Section 187 administrator runs municipality until September. On September, the agency appoints Section 189 and he appointed an administrator by the name of Kaya Umose. On that time, it was September, because the council was on September 28th on that time. Then when that man was appointed, one of the key problems that we faced, both the employees were not in good health. Section 187, Section 189 was questioning the credibility of Section 187 while both employees were from Kota. Therefore, as the Muslims, we face a serious challenge of how do we solve the problem of the employees from service department. That person started in September 28 until the end of 2013, which was 15 months. According to us, there were terms of representation to that person. The MPRA was one of the terms of reference for their Section 189. Of which, as a council, we believe that when this terms of reference was given to that person, he was the person who was in charge to make sure that these things are happening, not us. He was working with municipality, and he was working with municipal manager. For us, we request them to work closely. There was a lot of misunderstanding where the administrator wants to take power from municipal manager, of which for us, we believe it was incorrect. Municipal manager, if it's administrator there, municipal manager is still having the responsibility to be administrative head of the municipality, and the administrator to assist. Then administrator want to divide employees in between, to have some employees in the side and some employees in manager side. And there was a confusion. The question was whether or not that he was acting as a CFO on that time. And Section 189 was there also. In December 2013, in January, we called in Peter Mansberg. And a new gentleman in Section 189, 1B, was introduced by Bambandwandu. From that time until now, one of his terms of reference, MPRA, was included also. Therefore, from the first administrator to the third administrator, this term of reference of MPRA was also some terms of reference. As in policy, we had the problem where in more this term of reference was not introduced correct to us. Because nobody came to us and introduced this one, nobody came to us and explained how it works, because we are not experienced on how these things work. Therefore, Kota was supposed to come and explain. But the problem with Kota officials, they are doing what we call an interference. They are not interfering with parties. They are doing an interference. Several meetings with different political parties, caucuses, they have. We got evidence if we can go, because here we don't have all documents. That's why our presentation, we are requesting SOP to come to municipality if possible, if it suits them. Then we can have all documentation in place to say, this is what happened to us. Then we work with this Section 189-1B. What surprised us, one of the things we thought, if we have an administrator, we still have powers of counselor. As a counselor, those powers of state interest to us to do an oversight. But all of a sudden, administrator was given by Costa more powers. One of these powers is to sign alone to a bank account. Is to change his signature on the bank account without the authority of the council, without the legal of the council. The bank administrator, Mr. Buckman, he did ask a permission to the council, and we have an item that was taken as a resolution to the bank. But with that one, everything was changed of a sudden. One of the things which concerns us, the mayor came with allegations. The allegation which came from mayor was to charge municipality. That municipality is a coalition-led municipality, where it's led by two parties in coalition to govern that municipality. Therefore, there was an argument that there is no executive mayor on that council. Any issues that need to be raised by mayor must raise on behalf of the executives. Therefore, the executives must mandate the mayor to do whatever. Then we found the item on the council. That's where mayor now bringing an allegation. We were not objecting to allegation, but we were objecting to the procedure. which is against our rules of order of the council. Then this item we therefore object. On the same council, there was a motion for vote of no confidence against a mayor. That council was not good, and it just had a failure. After that council, we were called to identify in the Rivers Bay by Hopper, led by Dinan, where he wants us to explain how this council was conducted. Then we explained why we believe there was only one issue that was raised. It was Schedule 3, that we have, when we appoint a new mayor, we didn't use Schedule 3 as a pressure patch.
Honorable Mayor, with your respect, please. Like we indicated earlier on, that we clearly wish to have a benefit of understanding. But I don't think this narration would really come to a conclusion, especially on specific questions that were asked. Can I humbly request that you deal specifically with the specific questions that were asked? If there's any further clarity, we do so as and when we have ample time to do so. But for now, can we stick to the questions that were asked? Because I think the narration might take us the whole day, because you are talking about incidents that took place since 2011.
Okay.
And my fear is one, your narration might also be your view, and not necessarily the view of a council. So as you are saying, we focus on the presentation that we have made, and we deal with all the things that we post directly to you. There was a question specifically just to ask you, structural, what is the status of the result in terms of impact, in terms of the audit committee, and in terms of your unit that is dealing with the MIG? Do you have those questions? Can you start dealing with such questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for giving a background, because there was a question about the background of 2011. It was the reason why I gave the whole background to cover everything inside. There was a question around here about the background from 2011. It is the reason I have to give the background until 2015. Yes. Chairperson, I would ask a special question. Whether do we have MPAC audit committee? We do have impact in our municipality. Currently, in one of the resolutions in January, we did appoint an audit committee, because we believe that the audit committee that we have was not functional. Therefore, there was an appointment of new audit committee. If I recall, the four members in total, the chairperson in his meeting room, if I'm not mistaken, with the help of administration. Therefore, we have this item. The first audit committee was not functioning well, because we didn't have most reports where they need to come and brief us on the report and the findings of the audit committee. Therefore, they were not performing well. Therefore, we decided to re-elect a new committee, which was elected in January this year. Therefore, we have these two structures. In terms of the balance we have in the bank, the balance of the bank remained the same. Around sitting in January, it was 23 million that we have on account. This information can be found through the municipality, with the help of FO, if the committee wants that information, the committee can assess that information.
But the breakdown, there was a question to say, what is the breakdown of the 23
million? Chairperson, I cannot be in the position to make a breakdown. This is the balance I know we have in the bank currently. But this is the breakdown of how much is for me, how much is for operational. I will not be in the position to have that record at stage.
Okay, can I just establish a follow-up with your respect? You are saying you are having a bank balance of 23 million.
Yes.
Can I establish, in terms of the status of the municipal service delivery, what is the status of sanitation, what is the status of water, what is the status of electricity in the municipality? Do you have backlogs maybe?
Okay. If I can respond, we are not a district municipality chair. Those are duties of the district municipality. Sanitation is for municipality, for district.
Where do you take it?
Sorry, my chair. I think the question is relevant, the question to pose. Whether the provision of water lies with the district, but it impacts to the municipality. You must be in a position to tell us what is the level of service delivery. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are having the background in the issue of backlog of water. At Mtubatuba, there is no water at all. There are people who don't have water in the last 15 years. There are few people that are living in town, and some close areas that have water. Most areas don't have water. There are pipes that were laid in 3 to 4 years ago, but there is no,
There is no water at all. Currently, there was a Vision 2028 initiated by MNC to try to resolve this relationship between us and the Mukanyabuja and the district, and the one that are responsible. This is a core function of the district. But we have engaged them on 28th, where they failed to come on the disparity. There was another follow-up meeting on the 5th of January, where NEC sent the delegation, but the delegation of Mukanyabuja never participated on that meeting. Therefore, there is a backlog on water nutrition and water on the disparity.
So let me do a collection. Honourable members, please bear with me. I just want to get a little on this matter. If you are saying to us you have a surplus of 23 million or a bank balance of 23 million, by implication you are saying you are operating probably on a profit-making type of an approach. And to me, I'm saying the municipality is not a profit-making institution. It is there to run the same. People are without services, yet you are saying you are having 23 million. What is the link between that and what you are saying?
Mr. Chairperson, as I said, I can't be in a position to divide the amount whether how much is for me, how much is for operational. But we have some big projects that are still remaining. Like if I recall, there is a road for 7 million that's still in process. The contract was appointed. I can't be sure exactly how much that is in that balance is involving me.
Okay, can I establish? Does the follow-up question say revenue collection linking to this question?
Chairperson, if I might just, if it was my question, sir, my question is not being answered with all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman is the mayor of that municipality. Executive or not, he's the mayor of that municipality. Now, if your bank account goes from 900,000 rand to 23 million rand the next year, there's no way that you can be a proper mayor and not know where that money comes from. He must at least tell us more or less where that money comes from and why it is there. The other thing is, a simple thing such as a recovery rate, the mayor is supposed to know that. So there's no reason why my question cannot be answered. It is not being answered at this moment. I would like an answer, please.
Thank you. Well, I think I was trying to clarify or assist you. What is the recovery of revenue from the site? What is it that you are collecting? How much percentage are you collecting? That is the question. No, just allow me to.
Mr. Chairperson, one of the gentlemen did indicate that for me, I only have practice elected as a mayor.
Oh,
yes, I'm fresh from this one. I was not the mayor. I was elected on Monday.
Last week?
Yes. Okay. Therefore, I got less than. And when we were invited here, it was only short notice. We didn't have time to have, because we are now said demanded. Now officials are running away. I can't come and assist us. Therefore,
why are they running away?
Because they've been told that they can't talk to us. We are now disbanded in terms of section 189. Then there is few information that we have managed to collect from them because they have failed to assist us. Actually, the difference we have is the one that we had before we were told that the municipality is disbanded in terms of section 189.
Okay. Can I do the same? I don't want us to confuse ourselves. Can we afford the mayor to respond, even if any follow-up will grant the honorable members an opportunity to make a follow-up. But I'm saying,
on a point of order.
To whom?
On a point of order.
Yes.
The councillor mayor has made mention to you that he has got 5 days
in office.
Very little that he can respond.
Yes.
Can we then apply our mind without you or any other question? Can we?
Okay,
I suggested that let's close them and allow them to go and to apply our mind on the information given to us.
Yeah, that is the question that has been posed. We've got an obligation to ensure that we apply a fair hearing. That is what we are saying. We are not comparing what the MEC is saying nor what the mayor is saying. We are simply saying they've done a presentation, there's been clarity seeking questions. Only if the scholar applies for that opportunity. But I want to emphasize again, we don't have luxury of time. Maybe as and when we respond to clarity questions, let's do so by ensuring that we respond to the specific questions. Can I afford maybe the matter from members and questions?
Chairman, I wanted to align myself with Koshi Trajan for let us not interrogate the Honorable Mayor for the sake of interrogating him. You know, some issues, you ask him a question, where is the municipal manager, for instance. Some issues administrative. You cannot ask the mayor a question that is administratively. And the mayor has just said that he only has 5 days in office. The reason for him to seek intervention or to come and make a presentation to us is the simple reason that there are interventions going on in his municipality. Let us take what he is presenting to us. If ever we need clarity on other issues, we'll then, through proper channels, seek that clarity. Let us not interrogate. Now it's like we put their dirty linen on topic as if he's not functional in it. That is inhuman what we are doing now.
Honor, I think what you are raising doesn't help the committee. This committee has got an obligation to ensure that as and when representation is done to them, as and when they need clarity on any matter, they have the right to do so. And can I also place it on record? In terms of the procedures of the municipality, the accounting officer will happen to be the municipal manager, is accountable to the mayor. So in most instances, the need for us to get clarity where the municipal manager, I think the rather one with such a question, maybe the understanding of how municipality is operated. But in a sense, that particular question is relevant.
No, that's honorable chairperson. I'm also chipping in, trying to assist maybe the delegation so that they respond appropriately to what is being asked, especially in respect of this bank balance and 3 million. I think what they need to do, colleagues, don't assume that we know your area. What they need to do is tell us what the percentage of your rate base is. Do you have smaller inner towns? If you do, how many are they? What do they contribute? What percentage is their contribution? And I think it will be important that you also highlight the issue of what is the new demarcation in respect of Sanisa, Big Five, and yourselves, because it has an impact into this thing of the rate base. So just talk to us and give us everything, because we are not from your area. Give us a picture of who you are and how things happen. Thank you.
Yeah, but can I make a humble request? Remember, this type of interaction is a request of the municipality. And I think we have afforded them an opportunity through their own presentation, which was prepared by them.
Yeah.
And it's important that we don't necessarily come and say or assume that whatever that they presented might be limited or might be more. You know, in this case, we have afforded them an opportunity, and our questions, I think, are more relevant to the presentation that they've made. So I would humbly request, you are noted, honorable speaker. I would humbly request, this meeting is still proceeding well in terms of the rules of parliament, and I want to place it on record that questions that have been posed, we have made it clear to the honorable mayor. In case he doesn't have any answer, let him indicate to the house that he doesn't have an answer, and not necessarily commit a mistake or raising things that, as and when we follow them up, we pick up that he might before this committee. And I've indicated therefore that the issue that you are hearing before the committee is by nature done under oath. You know? So in most instances, anything that you're raising, be careful that you can follow it up and there can be measures taken in case that you select the committee parliament. So I'm saying it once again, we're not going to sit here for the better part of the day. Questions are posed. Can you ensure that we stick to questions that were posed? If there's any follow-up, I would have an opportunity after the mayor's concluded answering the questions. Honorable me.
With respect, Chair, we have the guests that have been waiting for an hour and a half, and they are leaving for with the flights. The flights are full. There's not many flights to Kazakhstan. They are now having only 45 minutes at the most. In fact, 80 minutes. If they are complying with the flying rules to be there an hour before. So I say the meeting was already summarized properly when they indicate, members indicated that at least they have the presentation. They will, and the mayor has had an opportunity to present you also something like that. And that, Chair, I think it would even help us more if that we take the next presentation. At least so that we have times we don't really come at a point where we can't even interrogate the next presentation.
Okay.
the point is taken. I think you are just following up on what Dr. Jan earlier on said, that you are suggesting that we take note of the presentation. However, we must ensure that we don't suppress any person. Can I ask, from the side of the mayor, out of the questions that are posed to you, is there any question that you wish to respond to? Honourable Speaker.
Ngifuna ukulekelela ngihlonishwa kuma questions akade buzwa. Une question lapha ethi open manager. Ngomhla ka 5 mhlonishwa mhlawumbe ku MEC ezohlakaza umkhandlu. Nasemblay isitholi kwathi ku administrative ukuthi asibuyise ama izinto zokusebenza zomkhandlu nasinawo ama copies azo. So asakwazi ukuxhumana nomkhandlu lwasila asilethiwe umkhandlu. Siza ngeyimali zethu kwata sihlakaziwe sekuvele kuminyezelwe uhlakazwa kwethu. So isizathu sokuthi singabi no-MM la ku-18MM njengamanje is because thina asisewona abakhansela ngokwelokozi. Yingakho besicela ithuba lokuthi silalelwe ngenhlanhla siyanikwa-ke ithuba lokuthi silalele. Okwesibili mhlonishwa khona umbuzo the kwenzeka kanjani ukuthi kube nemeya enye kube ne kufika umeya athi uyazala uba umeya iqembu lake liyamridiploye uvuleka isikhanga ngesikhathi-ke kusemandleni mhlonishwa la ngesikhathi kudoswa lo meya kuyize hope ukuthi kuzongena lo ivele iqeda umgodi ukhetha umeya obengekho kuyikhokazi leyo ebeishi yileso sibe senzeke mntuu beseke uyafisini asodenzantola yozima besoadministrateti masoyidibende nkantola ngeke niyidibende ngale mali yomkhalo bese sibuyele emuva ke simukele lokhu abadala asebesinika kona ukube siyalithola ithuba lokuthi mhlonishwa uma kuwukuthi
can you please translate as we go along, because we don't follow every word that the gentleman says. And if he goes on for a long time, maybe you will forget what is being said in between.
Okay. No, I am not really prolonged, but in essence, you are just indicating that the municipal manager has been suspended. He received a notice of the fee. That's what you said. Yes. Okay. So in fact what they are saying, they were dissolved. They were given letters to say they must bring back all properties of the municipality. So for them to be here, they use their own money to come here. Just for the benefit of being afforded an opportunity to be here. That's what he was telling me. Yes,
and I will devote. Please, I try. Omunye umbuzo ke uyilona ukuthi yini kube nemeya enye. Ngiwuspika mina ngene ngo-December, lo wayizona. Uspika obekhona, uresignile. Ikuthi imidia mayixoxa le nto athi siyamsukela uspika, ufake i-resignation. Ngenxa yey'nkinga ey'suke yisemndenini wakwabo, bese ufake i-resignation. Ngesikhathi kurizalwa esikhathi ilende lokuyenzeka. Yes, there are ama-motion whereby safaka i-motion yokuthi umeya une-responsibility yokuhlalisa i-executive. And umeya kwafaila ngimali ukuhlalisa i-executive. I-postpone sibekile, sihlele umeya ngeke. I-postpone, ithiweni faka i-motion kuyo ukuthi mayor, it look like awazi.
How many times have you changed mayors?
Kabili, imeya sesikwenze kabili ama-motion. Umeya isuda in the meeting athi mina ngithendwe iqembu zokuba ngize la le nto eyenziwayo apha ngiyazi wafike thina ayihambe khaya yosinkoma.
No, thank you very much. I think they clarified. Honourable members, I think we've given the mayor and the rest from Tuvatube an opportunity to do a presentation, and I think there with our veterans will not be on the same footing. We allow them with the understanding that we want to ensure that we stick to the provision of Section 69, Subsection D of the Constitution. And maybe we must just take the opportunity to say thank you for your presentation. It's very clear that you volunteered yourself to come here. because you have to take the initiative upon yourself and not necessarily be mandated by the executive committee to prepare your indication. Honorable Chief, you are the last on this matter, then we must afford the MEC an opportunity to come and do presentation as stipulated in our notice.
Thank you, Chief. But just in concluding, I want to say this much. After having listened to everything, maybe what the mayor and his continuous decision have done was brought the former ANC mayor under whose leadership this council was collapsing. Because see, all of those things are in his report. It was under the former ANC leadership.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Allow me the mayor, you are not proceeding with any further questions or clarities. I think would be left among ourselves, then whatever that would please to conclude, can conclude among ourselves. Honorable Mukwanazi, you are a member of the negative committee. No, I think the mayor has clarified and we did accommodate. What is that you want to emphasize specifically? Don't reiterate what the others have said.
Okay.
Because you have just come to a conclusion where they are saying we have what you had, I mean what you had to say, and likely we have copies of the presentation. Earlier on, you need to recall that the purpose of this meeting was specifically meant for the 139 subsection 1C intervention in terms of the provision of the constitution without any waste of time. The whole copies of the presentation of the MEC has been circulated already. We'll just ask quickly that the MEC starts with the presentation. But before she can even start with the presentation, can she afford us an opportunity to know the delegation that is accompanying the Honorable MEC before the committee? Honorable MEC, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members. Greetings. We are here with members from the COPTA, local government. It's me, the Mrs. Joy Vishnan from COPTA. Behind me is the Mr. Bima, Lionel. We call him Mr. P. They're very popular. And next to Mr. P is Mr. Fidel. And then next to Mr. Bello, it's Mr. Kun. And this is the team from the province of KwaZulu-Natal and the local government branch.
Thank you very much. That's the delegation from the side of the MEC. And now I then start with the presentation. MEC, you have an opportunity to get presentation as requested in terms of the notice that you wanted to evoke Section 139 of Section 1C as stipulated in terms of the provision of the Constitution. What is going to happen just to remind the MEC? You are appearing before the Committee of Parliament, that is the Select Committee of COPTA. Anything that you'll be raising, there is no mind, it will be automatically under home. Thank you very much. Let's afford the MEC an opportunity to present in case any additions will afford any delegate to do so as a moment at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson, the purpose of our presentation, as we outlined there, that we will give you an overview of the municipality. We'll also give you a summary of interventions that have happened. We'll also give you the legislative background to this matters to be in the NCOP. The whole process that we've traveled with in Tobatuba municipality since 2011, that is the various interventions that we've held, namely the discretionary intervention, the intervention in terms of 1391B, the engagements we've had at the municipality, the allegations against the that led to the suspension of the municipal manager, the non-compliance with the MPRA, the council responses to investigations or lack thereof to investigations that have been done, the processes of disciplinary cases, the dysfunctionality that could go through in the municipality. As we indicated, Chair, that the Executive Committee took a decision that we request to the Select Committee to approve our interventions in terms of Section 139.1C of the Constitution of South Africa. One of the five municipalities within Ntuba District Municipality in Ntuba, which is situated in the northeast coast, the municipality is close to 200,000 community population, more urbanized than other municipalities. It takes the whole areas of your Dugu-Dugu, the famous Dugu-Dugu. It takes the St. Lucia Park, it's Mangalisa Wetlands, and there are about 34,000 households in their database. If you look at the salary intervention, I won't go through 2011 issue where the municipality, the new municipality came in, and to a situation where because we had done an intervention in the previous term of the council, when this new one came in, a lot of senior managers resigned, and it resulted to the municipality also having a vacancy on the MM. But we started really feeling that we were not making progress with the assistance that we were giving in 2012, where we met with the municipality, I met personally with the municipality, and they requested that we intervene in terms of Section 136, which is a discretionary intervention of the MFMA. The discretionary intervention
resulted in very, very low car return in terms of what we expect in the municipality. This is a result of lack of political and administrative leadership, which was evident from the weak decision-making processes, the processes of poor service delivery within the municipality. For this reason, myself, together with the municipality, we had various meetings where we agreed and concluded that for us to be able to assist them, we maybe need to progress to Section 139.1b, where we will be able to take some of the responsibilities so as to try and push them and can take those decisions that we wanted to take. As a result of the progress in 2013, the executive resolved to extend the intervention in terms of Section 199-1B until September 2014. We had a meeting with the municipality on the 6th of August where we communicated the decision to them that we were giving them until the 31st of December 2014 trying to give them space. Because every time we reach them, they promise us, no, we will take those decisions, no, we will change the way we're conducting ourselves and all of that. Now, to the extent of the intervention, we had to also, in the mid a year, assume the responsibility or the function referred to in Section 67.1H under Schedule 2 of the Municipal Systems Act, which is read with relevant provisions dealing with the disciplinary matters, but also we had to assume the functions of the rating because we discovered that the municipality had failed to adopt its valuation role in time to allow the municipality to can have a budget and to allow them to also have to function basically. And because without rates, without collection, then the municipality cannot function. We have continued with the assistance to the municipality. I just want to see if I can go straight to, without wasting a lot of time on the previous, the discretionary intervention that we had, it was really looking at municipality recovery in terms of their financial standing. Because they were not at the time submitting their annual financial statement in time. In consultation with the MEC of Finance, we also put Mr. Rakao, who's a chartered accountant, certified chartered accountant, to assist the municipality. The provincial treasury also sent a team that was assisting us to assist the municipality. Because honestly, they did not have controls. They had very weak performance and accountability within the management of the municipality. In 2012, as I indicated, when we changed the Section 139, the discretionary intervention going to constitutional intervention. We then deployed a Mr. Bungose, who was appointed as a ministerial representative there. The comments that he had to give to his reports was that certain councillors were objecting to the intervention. He also stated the lack of cooperation from the councillors. And even at the stage where certain councillors expressly invited an intervention themselves, they had turned around to say, no, they didn't want the intervention. At that time as well, you know, the mayor who was sitting here, who's been, by the way, a deputy mayor since 2011, was the one who was always saying, no, why don't you disband the thing because it doesn't work. But we've always had a hope that it's the governance is not about intervention, it's not about disbandment, it's about people having been elected by their community to do certain work, and for us, we have an obligation to assist them, to support them, to ensure that they do everything. So that was 2012 to 2013. When we intervened in 2018 in terms of 139, the mayor and the executive committee, amongst its functions, obligations that they have failed, is that Section 99 of the Systems Act failing to supervise the supervisory authority in relation to implementation and enforcement of the credit control, the debt collection. At that time, they had the huge debtors book, but also they had not implemented the bylaws, or they didn't have bylaws actually. They didn't have proper credit control in place. In terms of Section 52 of the FMMA, they had failed to take all reasonable steps to ensure that the municipality performed its statutory or constitutional mandate within its limits by approving the budget in time. And the municipality had also, amongst others, failed to fulfill their obligations by not including measures, priorities, objectives, and performance targets to certain functions and report those to Auditor General. So this also came from the Auditor General report. The other issue was the not providing the performance information in their annual report of 2012-2011. Again, they had a huge list of unauthorized, irregular, wasteful and fruitful expenditure and not informing the MEC as accepted by the MFMA. This was also in the Auditor General's report. They were not exercising budgetary control and identifying early those problems and also ensuring that there were consequences to the people that were causing all these irregular and fruitless expenditure. This has been happening over two consecutive years. Also, they did not conduct the midterm year budget, the performance assessment of the municipality within the statutory guidelines for two consecutive financial years. They have excluded the performance information in the annual report. They failed to address issues raised by the AG in the report for consecutive years. So these were the issues. There's a long list there you'll see, Chair. I don't have to really go through everything, but to highlight the overdraft have been removed. The MIG, these are the results from our initial intervention. Because one of the issues that we found was that they were spending their MIG money for operations. And we had to then try and deal with that because it was creating, again, a lot of problems within the municipality. Well, we had continuously raised, as I said, Chair, that the municipality was owing a lot of people and they were not paying within the stipulated time. We had also, as COCTA, we had tried to give them money for the corridor development for the sports fields, as well as for the MTB library computer assistance, money for the low-cost housing, which money had disappeared in the municipal account. We had also, as I indicated, Chair, when we started working with them on the 139 now, we were able to remove the overdraft. We were able to deal with the deficits, and we were able to address the backlog of electrification. I have myself personally today to launch electricity, a number of electricity projects which are funded by us. We have been able to pay a number of creditors amounting to about 5.8 million as of 2013, including 3.4 that was owed to Rural Metro. We had an audit action plan that we have developed on all the issues that were raised by the AG. We also had to make sure that we push the municipality that all top management positions had to be filled, because this was another political battle where they couldn't agree on any appointments, because they had this thing that say we must divide the post. You party A must get this post, you party B must get this post. And when we intervened, at least we were able to push them to employ. There was also an improved public participation program that we had. We had put the IDP process in place. We did an audit of ward committees and did a comprehensive ward committee support plan to all the dysfunctional ward committees. We had the monthly municipal newspaper that we introduced to try and keep the communities abreast, because there was a lot of unhappiness, there were a lot of marches from the communities that the municipality was dysfunctional. although we had achieved these achievements by 2013, come 2014, we started again to slide back. And we felt that our when the contract of the previous representative expired, we put the representative that we knew that he was more, you know, stronger at taking decisions, but also he didn't fear taking unpopular decisions when confronted by that kind of situation. 2014, we experienced huge political instability. Political tension exacerbated between February and June, heightened tension which affected really the functionality of the council itself, the committees, as well as the administration. At some point, steps were required to be present at council meetings to try and contain the situation. I think Mr. Kun was there in one of the meetings where electricity was switched off at night when they were fighting. They switched off the electricity and they were all dark and sparks were flying. Here you have the leadership really of the municipality which consistently were not playing the ball or focused on the work of servicing their communities. Over 4 financial years, with a lack of political input on critical framework issues that the council had to take. For instance, the draft IDP did not contain the organizational performance management system. You know that this is the law, which is supposed to inform the budget process. There was no evidence of mayor experts discussing and deciding on priorities specifically for the 1450 budget and the financial budget, which was brought to council on the 29th of May 2014. Without this having been discussed at EXCO, and the management really was finding it very difficult to operate because of the political tensions of councillors. The draft budget and the final budget were prepared without a council-approved OPMS, and without the draft SDB to be finalized after the approval of the budget. We were alerted of these systematic defects, and in turn informed the council of all the flaws in the budget and the fact that this must be corrected. The council deliberately ignored the mayor's advice and the mayor was attacked by councillors for making what it seems an anti-management comment, in that the mayor was indicating that the management was not doing 1, 2, 3, and then the councillor would attack the mayor to say, "Don't say that to officials." For 3 conservative financial years, 2011, 12, 13, 14, there was no evidence of quarterly or annual performance information review and evaluation. So you would note, honourable members, that these are all the things that were management flaws that we kept on picking up on the management side with the MM. The mid-year review, the report of 2013 contained contradictory inaccurate figures, where the same was brought to the attention of the council as well as the management, but the council ignored this information as per the report. The municipality received a disclaimer in the year of June 2012 and qualified opinions in the 1 year ended 2013. That is when we had an administrator. The municipal manager and senior managers were never asked to give reasons for such bad performance, and when we asked that in terms of the MFMA, you're supposed to have disciplinary and actions against all these things, the municipality refused to institute disciplinary. During the first half of 2013-14, the National Treasury withheld 4.2 million of the equitable share of the municipality because of the under expenditure on the meek and electrification grant. There was never a report from the municipal manager to council to indicate this. This was brought to the attention of the councillors. Also issues of unauthorized regular expenditures were spiraling. For 2013-14, there was a spent conditional grant of 14.1 million, as the note in the AG and also in the annual financial statement. They had cash-backed grants equal 12.4 million, which therefore indicated that the conditional grant was utilized for daily operating expenditure, which is contrary to the requirements of DORA, and therefore deemed irregular in terms of the AG report. A non-financial statement were therefore having misstatements by 14.4 million as no irregular expenditures were reflected in the financial statement, and the notes to address the above were given to the municipality. Also, the report on the budget of provincial treasurer was not tabled in council because every year municipality is supposed to receive all these matters, and these were never tables, and every time we then raise with the councillor to say we are expected to approve this, we are expected to deal with this, they will refuse. Although there was no, there was an action plan on the AG findings, the implementation of such plan was not monitored by council, and there was no report given to council on the implementation plan. The audit committee was not fully functional. There was persistent abuse of Regulation 36 of the supply chain management. Council did not affect the implementation of the recommendation of the internal audit as well as the audit committee, resulting in these misstatements and the risks that I've indicated above. The forensic investigation report of 2012 that was prepared by ourselves has not been implemented by council, and the council has not given any reasons for non-implementation. The MM later, the acting MM stated that the council had not even adopted the third report of the audit, and the MM advised that a copy of the report was indeed delivered to the SEPs because we had indicated to council that there were matters of criminal in nature in our report and these needed to be reported to the police. Indeed, these were eventually sent to the police. On the basic services, in 2012, the municipality took delivery of the completed construction of the taxi rank that we built. And in March 2013, the taxi road structure caved in and finally collapsed. There was no evidence of a report being made to council of this structure. You remember that you'll see in our report was that part of this was in the forensic report that we had made with regards to this contract by the municipality, although the money was coming from ourselves. There is no evidence that suggests that the council MM did call the council meeting to address the issues that were raised to them. Financial viability, poor budget control measures, poor expenditure management, creditors not being paid. As of June 2014, there was outstanding creditors to the value of 11.3 million. Who could not be paid during 2013 financial year because monies were not available in the municipal budget. About 50% of this amount have been outstanding for more than a year, and the liability were not budgeted for in the 2014-15 financial year. Staff and council and salaries and allowances account for 46.6%. And at some stage, I had, I won't call it an invasion in my office by councillors where they demanded that I increase their salaries, which we engaged. That's why I would have loved this councillor to be here so that they can look at me in my face and say what I'm saying. I've never discussed with them over 3 years, honourable members. The municipality really had a lot of challenges in the institutional development transformation in that still does not have a functional performance management system. The internal audit reports on the last two financial years, they bear witness to what I'm talking about. We provided training on the PMS, but there was no will for people to implement this, even following the training that we gave. The staff complements grew without any work study or anyone having been taken through the proper processes. The organogram review was underway when we came and intervened because we saw that they all of a sudden increased their staff complements without these reflected on the organogram. So we had to ask them to review their organogram if they needed to have people in the establishment. There has been an ongoing discussion then between ourselves, SALDA, to try and assist the municipality to find solution to the problems that they have been facing. In 2014, June, there was a delegation meeting with COFTA, EXCO, and the speaker in order to try and address these problems that were ongoing. The proceedings of the council meeting that was held on 19 June, at which the council voted to remove and replace all political office bearers, that is the mayor, deputy mayor and the speaker. The failure by council to adopt municipal budget of 14-15, and the status of the intervention in terms of 191B of the constitution. We had agreed that the technical team comprised of the ministerial representatives, the MM, and all senior managers will consider all the issues that we have raised, and that the council will then have to pass the budget at the meeting that was to be held in June 2014. The meeting took place and the budget was approved. In respect of the intervention, it was noted that the recovery plan had not been adopted. That was expected at the same meeting. And the municipal representative advised us that they had spoken to the municipality about the consequences of not adopting the recovery plan at the said council meeting. We had to approach the courts to obtain an interim order declaring that the council meeting, they had set up a council meeting and we had items on the agenda. But instead of dealing with the items on the agenda, such as the one I was talking about, the recovery plan, passing of the budget, the main issue there were the removal of the mayors and the removal of the speaker and so on. Eventually, we agreed that we will remove the case in court and they must go and correct all the things that we were putting on them. Prior to the removal of the mayor, there were allegations that had been levelled against the MM by the then mayor, Mr. Julie. We designated an internal investigation on the allegations that were put. As the municipality was the employer, we then expected them that such report has got to serve before the council to consider disciplinary action on the, and the possible suspension of MM because of the serious allegations and the seriousness of nature of the allegation. We completed an investigation and attempts were made to present a report on numerous occasions, including on the meeting of July 22, 2014, which council meeting was very, very disruptive and ended with the IFP councillors walking out, leaving the meeting incorrect. It became clear that a number of councillors were intent on protecting the municipal manager because they didn't want to take decision, even given all the list of issues that we wanted them to take a disciplinary action against the MM. These are the following allegations that were investigated. That the staff overtime payment for months of March, April and May without the ratification of the administrator was done. That the non-payment of creditors within 30 days. That the first week of March 2014, a certain municipal vehicle is alleged to have been confiscated by the deputy sheriff of Mtubatuba. This was never reported to council. Sometimes in August 2012, it is alleged that about 5 municipal vehicles were attached by the sheriff for public auction as a result of default judgments to an amount of 451,000. The non-compliance with the supply chain management procedures, the extortion of donations from service providers, the Komsani tax rank that I spoke about, the non-compliance with the MPRA, and we do elaborate on all these issues of investigation. Generally, the accounting officer really has disregarded the authority and the powers vested in him. That one of being an accounting officer in the municipality, that he had failed on all those items that I had mentioned above. Subsequent to the meeting of July, it was very clear that because we had then wanted the municipality to charge and to charge the MM and go through the disciplinary, there was no cooperation among councillors because others didn't want the MM to be charged or to be suspended. Despite all the communication and the assistance that we've given, we also realized that by council not adopting the budget, we were having a risk of the council not having to approve the voter roll. And this resulted in us going to the executive council to ask the executive council to extend Section 131 to include evaluation role. It's the evaluation role. Because they didn't approve the budget, because the budget, a part of the budget then is the evaluation role, which then assists the municipality to raise and also to have income and then function. Because they failed to do this, we had to quickly go to the Executive Council and ask the Executive Council to extend the powers of the Section 139 and give us powers to can do that function, to take over that function. And indeed, the Executive Council allowed us to do that. I think that is why they are saying when those powers change, remember, because we had then to approve the budget, we had to do all these other things, part of that as well, when we suspended the municipal manager, was to get the ministerial representative to be able now to be the person who then gets the charge of all those aspects, because they failed to do that. And as I said, that the MPRA provides for the municipality to continue rating on their current voter roll because they're not approved the new one. So we had to then rate people, we're rating people in terms of the old voters from the evaluation roll, sorry. The then Mayor Julie had previously drafted an item on council agenda trying to ask the council to institute the disciplinary procedures to the MM for all his failures, which did not happen. Instead, there was a motion to remove the mayor because of his attempt to really try and get the council to seat and also take these difficult decisions that they had to take. There was then this unlawful removal of the mayor. And on the basis of the ongoing challenges, the council resolved on the 6th of August that we extend the scope of our intervention, and that part of our scope is now to institute the disciplinary on the municipal manager, because we were also having problems in that he was not cooperating with our representative when we were telling him, take this decision, take this report. He didn't cooperate at all. That is why we really were not able to take this critical decision as the council was not able to. There was a meeting that was held on October 2014, which was a very chaotic meeting. And the speaker of that meeting refused to grant an opportunity for COSA representative to explain the legal position of the council and also to assist the municipality to say what are the consequences of the non-adherence to the laws and also not wanting to go the direction we're advising. The speaker, of course, had lost total control of the meeting. She ended up, I think she just stood up and left the meeting. And councillors were screaming amongst each other, swearing at each other. And it was clear that the situation was really out of hand. That was in October 2014. I think that's the meeting where the councillors cleared the council agendas. I think that's the meeting also where they were on top of each other, on top of the desk, and the police came in and tried to bring order. I think it's that meeting where we instructed the police to stop the council meeting because it was, I think, around about 9 o'clock at night, and where we could see that the situation was very, very dangerous for any one of them to still be inside the room. On the 18th of November, the Executive Committee of the Municipality took a resolution which stated that they were not in support of the municipal manager being removed. They disputed the municipal representative's authority to charge the MM. And as an official who cooperated with the ministerial representative of COPTA, will face disciplinary action when the municipal manager comes back. That's the kind of resolution they took. In October, our representative issued a letter to the MM informing him of the intention to suspend him. And the MM did not submit any representations contrary, because you know that you must say why you should not be suspended. We give you the reasons why, and we're saying why you should not be suspended. So there were no representations that were given back by the MM disputing anything that we said to him. The disciplinary hearing was scheduled for the 28th of November 2014, but was postponed to this year in February, which is 12th and 13th of February, due to the unavailability of the MM or his legal representative, where it was said he's ill. December 2014, special counsel meeting was convened by the acting MM at the request of the majority of parties. Only one item was to be discussed, namely the resignation of the former speaker of the council. The commencement of the council meeting, all 38 councillors were present before the council meeting could proceed to elect the speaker. This was the speaker that the ANC was replacing, because it was the ANC speaker. That's the one that I was saying every time there was a council meeting, she would leave the council. Once councillors start screaming and shouting at each other, she would just leave the council meeting and go. So the ANC decided to remove the speaker because of her lack of capacity or willingness to control and take charge of the council meeting. At the meeting, the ANC councillors, we are told, they requested for a caucus, and the remaining the other councillors, they didn't go out. The 22 councillors that remained at council chamber when the ANC requested for the caucus, they remained behind and they elected the speaker. So that's how the speaker was sitting here, Candelanya, was elected in December. There was a further a notice of motion that was submitted on the 4th of December, which was removing the mayor, Council and Julie, from EXCO. The motion passed between the council on the 12th of December. Remember that the first one was on the 2nd of December, where they elected the speaker. And then the council meeting was called for the 12th of December, where the motion to remove the mayor was tabled. The ministerial representative informed the council that the motion was not in order because you can't remove the mayor. You first have got to dissolve the EXCO and you must form the new EXCO, and within those new EXCO members you can then elect the mayor. Subsequent to that, on the same day of the 12th of December, a new notice of motion was submitted. Motion provided for a removal of Councillor Julie both as EXCO member and as the mayor. And at that council meeting, the councillor, I think Mukana, who was seated here, then became an acting mayor because they could now elect the mayor without following the processes. So they didn't elect the mayor, then Councillor Julie, Councillor Mukana. Then that's how he became the acting mayor, because remember, he's been the deputy mayor since 2011. Between 2012-2014, there were various issues that we have been dealing with the council regarding political tensions, council meetings, but meetings, decisions not being taken. And I just want to draw your attention to the council dysfunctionality, because that is where really we have been experiencing very, very difficult situation in the functioning of the municipality. Since 2011, there have been constant changes in the council or the office bearer of the municipality. The first one happened in 2011 itself, where councillors, when they were supposed to employ the MM, the mayor who was there at that time and the speaker refused to put the motion on the council agenda because the employment procedures and processes were not being followed. So what the councillors did, they then removed the mayor at that time. After having removed the mayor, they put the new mayor, they put the item on the agenda, and then they illegally put the MM. We took that matter to court, but we eventually agreed with the municipality that they must reverse that decision and correct everything, and the matter was withdrawn from court. Six changes have been made of mayors in that municipality. Three changes of the office of the speaker has been made in that council to date, causing really requisite changes in the ESCO. I don't know how many ESCOs have changed chairs in that council, resulting really in a serious instability politically. And some of these changes would be done today, tomorrow's change, it could be done today, next month is change, the elected mayor today, next month is change, and really, really playing this not being matured and not understanding the impact of their actions. Out of 56 ex-committees, 9 meetings could not sit, and out of 56 council meetings, 2 did not sit. And what we want also to bring to the attention of the honourable members here is that it would be good that, because we indicated to councillors that we were not removing, we were not disbanding the municipality because it was governed by the ANC, but we were removing the municipality because it was dysfunctional. The decision to disband the municipality was taken by the Executive Council early in January, and I think last week the council then elected the mayor who was sitting here, and Councillor Mkhwanazi, I think, I don't know whether it's Mkhwanazi, yeah, I think it's Mkhwanazi, the one was saying he's 2 weeks in office. That was after we had taken the decision to recommend the dissolution. But also that is after I had been to meet the councillors on the 20th of January, where we had a long discussion about how we needed them to change the situation. That is after I had also had another meeting with them in December, and the premier of the province had met the municipality in October to also express our unhappiness on the way the municipality was conducting itself. We had emphasized a lot the fact that Mutumatuma municipality is not the only municipality which is co-governed. It's not the only municipality which has got councillors from the various political parties. It's not the only municipality that is, you know, in KwaZulu-Natal, but we have 61 municipalities, and many of them are co-governed, but in the best interest of the community, people must understand that you can't have a council that all they do is to have motion after motion after motion. Yes, it's a democratic right for anybody to have motion, but not at the expense of governance, not at the expense of councillors not taking decisions, officials not knowing who to report to, decisions not being taken because councillors are so busy trying to decide today we're having this one as the mayor, tomorrow we're having that one as the mayor. So based on the above mentioned challenges, honourable members, it has become clear for us that the interventions of Section 139.1.1.1.D has been frustrated by councillors and officials alike to such an extent that we're not going anywhere with the recovery plan. Minimal progress has been made in the implementation of the recovery plan itself. Councillors are openly indicating that they will never cooperate with each other. They will never cooperate with the ministerial representatives, and they were also indicating that they want to be disbanded. And for this reason, the portfolio committee itself also visited the municipality, I think in January, and all they were told is that disband us. Why are you still keeping us here? Just disband us and let us go back to the communities and get a fresh mandate. Yes, the provincial. So for this reason, on the 30th of January, the Executive Council resolved that we intervene in terms of 139.1C and that we be authorized to have an administrator that will facilitate for the new election of the Municipal Council, that will coordinate with all the various stakeholders to ensure that service delivery is not compromised while the process is happening. We have a program that we are putting in place of ensuring that the provincial executives, as they are the ones who dissolve, they must also be able to take hands to run the affairs of the service delivery. and ensure that as well we communicate regularly to the commuters with regards to what is exactly is happening in the municipality. I just want to touch really briefly on the issues, Chair, of the terms of reference of the administrator. It can never be close ever to the truth that people have never known of the terms of reference of the administrator. I mean, we've had, I've had, I don't know, more than probably 8 or 10 meetings personally with the councillors. And the good thing is that all the councillors that were here were always part of the EXCO, and the other one was the deputy mayor since 2011. So any one of them would know that we've discussed the terms of reference. At some stage, they even wanted copies. I think in 2012, we gave them copies. When we changed to 109, we discussed extensively the terms of reference. We even had a workshop to teach councillors, because they were saying sometimes they don't understand their roles. We had workshops to get them to understand their roles. The ministerial representative himself has had workshops with the councillors to try and assist them to understand the implications of each one of the things that were being said. The acting CFO of the the acting CFO has also tried many occasions to sit with the councillors. In fact, there was a meeting with the new speaker in December where he was taken through line item on the budget, because he wanted to know as a new speaker what is the budget, what is going on, where and where. And we've always appreciated that for us it's not about whether the speaker is the ISD or NFP or ANC. For us it's governance, and we're not interested on their political issues. We're only interested in the issues of their roles and responsibility, and the fact that they must govern as expected in terms of the Constitution. So, Chair, there's a lot that we could share with you, but for now, probably we'll rely on the questions from the honourable members so that we can then be able to fill you in.
Thank you very much. The presentation from the honourable MEC, I think the presentation is welcome. It will have the committee to make an informed decision, which will serve as a recommendation to the National Council of Provinces. On that note, allow me to afford honourable members an opportunity to interact with the presentation. Honourable Chetty, Honourable Kaula, any other hands? Honourable Lana, are there the three hands? There's the fourth hand. I think these are the only four hands that are willing to interact with the report. Only four hands. Thank you very much. Honourable Chetty.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So I first want to make some comments and request some clarity from the MEC, and after the other questions I'd like a concluding chat. All the comments and presentations that the MEC has presented us are issues that occurred prior to 15 January 2014. And as the documents we present, that is proven such. If it is so, what was the fundamental difference that included the MEC after initially requesting an extension to March 2014? Of the section 131 being changed in Matubatuba. What triggered a change of heart from the 15th of January 2014 to the 30th of January with the changes in PED decided to invoke section 139.1c? It is fundamentally important for me to understand why is it that within this short period of time, because the MCNL department made a request for us to extend intervention of section 139.1b to the 30th of March, and now all of a sudden we see there's a change of heart. Follow up on that, Chair, but I also have a query as to whether the department was set up when they didn't request the intervention to be extended of 139.1b. If the issues I see that they are saying are, there is no way that all of this happened overnight or within the 15-day period to say, as of the time the MEC department made a presentation to us to extend intervention in Matubatuba to the 30th of March, has so drastically changed. If you can imagine as to what the drastic issue on that. Furthermore, sir, Chair, the MEC made reference to the election and in every part of the speaker. I mean, this is a democracy that we all fought for and we all now have the luxury of. The council, by virtue of a majority, has the right
to replay or to call a motion of no confidence, and by virtue of majority voting in a new speaker. That is their right to do that. I personally don't think it's relevant in that year. There was a meeting call. The ANC members walked out. The balance of the council members present, those councillors were full quorum and were full majority. So they had the right to do that. And if you look at the report, it doesn't question the legality of it. So I don't really see the necessity to bring back of the speaker being re-elected or the change of the speaker section chair.
Also, Chair, the MC told us about 6 changes for the mayor, 3 speakers and numerous expo. Surely all of this did not happen within the 15th January to the 30th of January. So it happened prior. So all those reports that we present and the HOP, the Red Committee, somewhere, somehow it seems to be some reports of how to check. So surely we should have got a true reflection of the state of those municipalities. I think it said long ago that when we did not want to allow extension in some intervention. But we said, does it not just a waste of time? Shouldn't we just dissolve the municipalities and not allow an extension to the 30th of March? And I can say to them, this is the second municipality. Maltakana was the first one, it has not been resolved. Machubachu was the second one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable MC, for the briefing. Honorable Chairperson, my comment or question will also not be very far away from the comments that Honorable Chetty has made, because one is asking oneself, why now? Because from what the Honorable MC has been presenting, the sequence of events has been happening from 2011. But why now this 13913 dissolution? There is somewhere in the report where Honorable MC is reporting that the municipality failed to meet the obligations, and she is tabulating them as one Section 99 Systems Act in terms of the implementation and enforcement of municipalities' credit control and debt collection, which is, I agree with the MEC, a gross dereliction of duty. And the second one, Section 52 of the MFMA, by failing to take all reasonable steps to ensure the municipality performs in its constitutional and national function within the limits of the municipality's approved budget. But let me go back to this other document, which is a report of the MEC on the chairperson, on the composition of the municipality. The municipality has an echo of 6 members, ANC 3, IFP 3, NFP 1. Now, that is 7, it can never be 50-50 parent. Now, these councillors who are in this executive, they are the ones, especially those who are governing the municipality, they are the ones who say to do this. The full council, the composition is ANC 16, IFP 15, NFP 7. And again, there is no 50-50. That 16 plus 7, they have said to do what the MC is saying. But the MC has not done anything. Things went on. But they have said to do what they are supposed to do. There is a vote that allows them to do this. There is a vote that allows them to govern. But they have not done that. Going on under the chairperson with the MC's presentation, she again says that on a meeting of 22 July 2014, IFP councillors walked out. As a result, the meeting could not correct. No. That cannot be true, because there is only 50 IFP councillors. Even without them, the meeting can go on without them. So that one is not true. Going on, chairperson, the report again says that on 19 June 2014, council meeting held an unlawful meeting where a mayor was elected. I don't know what it means that the meeting was unlawful, like Honorable Chairperson was saying. But there is quite a lot of a series of events, Honorable Chairperson, which is showing dereliction of duty. It has been going on from 2011. My interest, Chairperson, is on this very interesting coincidence.
2 weeks ago, the ANC mayor resigns, another mayor is appointed or elected, and then the municipality is finally dissolved. Fine now.
Thank you very much. Can I forward the second speaker, Anna Uluwana?
Thank you, Sophia. Let me appreciate the input of the presentation of the MEC. I've got a few second questions. First and foremost, I wanted to understand the current situation of the audit outcome that says 2012-2013 it had a qualification, 2013-2014 unqualified, coming from disclaimer. The MEC is silent about the reports that are supposed to be submitted to his office, quarterly reports when they were doing resuscitation before. And secondly, I want to understand whether it's a true reflection that currently there is a fund in the account of $33 million. From the side of COMTA as a department. Let me come to specific, and although there's no page, I'm not going to go through all of them. In some time in August 2012, there was about 5 municipal vehicles that were attached. That means there was a court case, and the municipality lost the case. So I wanted to understand what was the scenario. If that is the case, what was the intervention in terms of trying to make an out-of-court settlement in those issues? Secondly, your question on last week. Last little person, I wanted to understand the plan from the department draft framework of the supply management procedures, because here there are also the allegations which department investigated, what did they do for a case 2012 permit. Last little person, I want to understand current situation. Now, what is the community's about the dissolvement? What are the reaction of the stakeholders outside the municipality, and what measures are there to make a damage control so that the communities can also have service delivery? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I give the
answer? Yeah, Honorable MEC, we thank you for the presentation. Though I have some few questions that I want to pose to you. In your presentation, you said there is political instability in that municipality. What makes you think that when the municipality is disbanded, there will be political stability? It's not my choice. Okay. In terms of the Auditor General's report, I'm not sure it was before the intervention or after the intervention. There is a progress in terms of human resource issues. And there is a progress in terms of financial health of the municipality. And I think I don't have the terms of reverence for your intervention with me now. But I think according to your presentation, those were the issues that you highlighted most, especially the human resource issues. So if the municipality can progress in your intervention, what makes you to dissolve the very same municipality that shows a progression in those instances? My third and last question will be on the issue of community, because we are here because of the community. Are you dissolving the municipality for your own political gains? Because now, as I'm seeing, mayor is not from the ANC, the minister speaker is not from the ANC, and maybe most of the ESCO members are not from the ANC. Are you doing it for the sake of the political control from your political party? Or are you doing it for the interest of the community? What are the reactions of the community that this municipality is saving? For now, I will pause to share.
Thank you very much. Those are the questions, Paul. Can I then afford the Honorable MEC to respond to the question? First, no, Hoshima raised and during the meeting. No, Honorable Mukwele, Hoshima raised when you are the chairman of the meeting. Thank you, Hoshima.
Yeah. Hey, you noted me as the last.
No,
yes,
the power to decide. Honorable Choregrani.
Maybe Honorable Mukwele was not trained yesterday that the meeting has to be chaired by one person in a given meeting. So not everybody can be chaired by meeting. So he should have been very meeting out of thank you, Eddie. Because Kim and Naka came to share more job for them. Thanks, Jefferson. Thanks, MEC and the honorable members. I'm not necessarily going to make questions, but I'm going to contribute to, you know, the meeting as we've received this presentation. Chair, for obvious reasons, we are in a political environment, and then always it will become difficult for us to be separated from political questions and political contributions. Members, as we discussed here, they are alleging that the scenario that led the Honorable MEC to arrive at what she's presenting to us here has been informed by political. But I'm looking at the report that she presented to us here. She gave indications that since 2012 there have been, you know, elements of not proper, you know, running of the municipality, which led to the involvement of Section 1391B continuously being extended up until the recent, you know, arrival of this particular determination. I would have loved if all of us here, we are looking at this sequence and series of, you know, involvement of the constitution in terms of Section 139B. To me, it then says effort has been made in terms of, you know, governance. Today, let's implement our responsibility as Oxford to say we have been charged by the constitution and the, you know, other subsequent legislation to say we have got a responsibility to build the capacity of the municipality. But in all those scenarios, yes, we can, of course, when you deal with auditor general's report, you know, Chair, that we are dealing with samples.
But they themselves, they are not dealing with samples, they are dealing with the political monitoring of the performance of the municipalities. From where they are, I'm not denying that they might have not seen everything the way we wanted them to be seen. But I'm looking at the consistency of that report to say we have been doing this, we have been trying to, you know, assist the municipality in doing 1, 2, 3. Up until we realize that we cannot, and if you listen to all of us, every time we raise concern about the non-performance of municipalities, we always said government have got no will, does not show that it has got an intention to arrive at improving the state of our municipality. When the decision has to be taken to say, we are now saying we can't take it beyond that, it looks like when we are politicking, we don't look at that scenario, we don't look at all those things. We just only see at why today, why because there's no, you know, ANC mayor, there's no, I don't think the issue here is about ANC. Because all this law, it looks like the ANC has been in place, but they, you know, trying to help them all in vain, according to the report that I'm having it, I've been listening to it, I've read it, and the chair, where you are, we've done something that is unusual today. Out of, you know, Section 69 of the Constitution. And have allowed the interested party, in this regard, those who were in the municipality before. They have stepped here. And I ask, they themselves confirmed that there's no stability. We've been having this administrator, we've been having a mayor, we've been, you know, fighting amongst ourselves, and then we will continue doing that if you give us an opportunity to continue. I guess, Chair, in the best interest of government, we have to look at this thing at an objective level. Not about my party affiliation, my interest in the MEC coming from whatever level. The unfortunate part, unlike Omtuanenko Sokawala, I'm not from KZN, I'm from Limpopo. I thought I'm looking at this thing from, you know, with an objectivity. I know he has got just an interest in the matter. I don't have. Whether they are the municipality continue or not continue, I'm looking at the objectivity of the matter. And I have, for continuously leaving our own populace, our own people in South Africa, under this kind of, you know, environment, we are becoming irresponsible ourselves. I would add that let's apply our mind, informed by the issues that are on the ground, not political issues alone. Yes, politics, we are here in terms of politics, but politics should not be the major and the only determination of the fact that we are determining what.
Thank you very much.
The provision that allows them to travel to the United States, you will be the last section.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is more point of order. I, with all due respect, think my colleague is a bit misleading the House. If this was really about the people, this would have been done in 2012 already. Thank you.
We afford honorable demanded and the MEC would respond to the questions.
No, sir. I'm not supposed to speak after Hoshi, but because he triggered me, also he understands that how wrong and members of Ingu they get to speak. No, sir. Just the observations related to this. You know, sir, when we particularly the point on political issues. That you see, as a committee chair, we've disbanded solely ANC municipalities in Nakamuriri, in Kwanka.
My apology to interject. Can I first afford the MEC an opportunity to respond? Then we would immediately embark on engaging on the presentation, finally conclude this matter. You have a day. Can you first afford the MEC to respond, please?
Thanks, honourable members. Honourable members, I think what we must always guard against doing, we must guard against putting political heads at the expense of the bigger picture. You know, if there's one municipality where I've always been ashamed to see why I'm glad the councillors are here because I've always asked them, you have projects, housing projects, that are not finished. You have a problem of water. You have this and this problem. Why are you not fighting about that? Why are you not fighting with officials that are doing irregular expenditure, the fruit traffic? Why are you fighting amongst yourself? And I've always asked them, you know, it pains me that people still do not understand the complexities and the importance of being in government and being given a responsibility to govern. Because it's not about who's in power. And other members, what you must understand here, we gave reports to the NCOP, comprehensive reports, every time we engage you to say we are extending, we gave you extensive reports. And at most stage, we try and give reports that even ourselves, you can't find, you know, the head or a tail of it. We're always objective when we deal with issues like that. And honorable member, every time honorable Kaula talks, he says there's been dereliction of duty. Of course there's been dereliction of duty. Of course by councillors. And at the last council engagement that I had, I said, councillors, you have failed the community. Because council work as a collective. There is no way you can say it's a council because of this mayor or it's a council because of the speaker. It's not. It's a collective responsibility of all councillors to govern in their own right by the constitution. Now, if a council fails, it doesn't fail because of the AC or because of the ISP, but it fails because councillors collectively failed to see that this is not taking them to the right direction. Look at a council as well. You know, we came from different political parties, or members, myself and Mr. Lenko, we were councillors. We would fight, but we will never fight just because we're different parties. That's fine.
No, you're still
But I'm just trying to indicate here that it's good that you can fight as political parties. But when it comes to government, comes to governing, comes to objectivity, what you do must be clean, what you do must be above board. I just wanted to make that point because a lot of members are saying the ANC has failed. Yes, the ANC has failed, then the ANC must be disbanded. The ANC failed, then it must be disbanded. So what is the problem with that? It's not about who the ANC or the ISP. It's about the municipality that has failed its responsibility. I don't care who's what. And I've said this even to councillors themselves. We will do it again to any other municipality. And it's true, the honourable member saying, we should have done this last year. It is true. But it was on the basis of the assurance by councillors to say they are going to change. And I said to them, I will come back. And I came back to the Premier West to the municipality of Oba. And even there, they said we'll change. And I said at that meeting where the Premier was, Premier was given the 3 months to change. And we made an assessment in December. And I went to the council in January to give them the assessment, to say, councillors, this is our assessment. And I said, to quote my words, if councillors are honest, I said, my report I'm giving you to you is that you have failed. This is the end, I was giving them a report card, that if you are a fool, I'm giving you a report card to say you have failed. And councillors said, yes, we told you, must disband us. Well, the majority of them. But if I can tell you who started, it used to be his song anyway. I'll tell you, never mind. Well, this is my honourable favourite councillor, Mkonas, who was the acting mayor. I don't know now because they changed it. I don't know who's what. But honourable members, the progress, yes, the progress has been made. The process has been made in that in 2011-12, the municipality has a disclaimer. When we came into the intervention, they moved to qualification. And when we changed intervention, they moved to qualification. Unqualified. And at all this time, by the way, the council has always been the ANC council. So don't confuse because what we're talking about here is what has been happening. Not Ukuthi just because of the ANC now changed. No. There has been progress. Albeit, the progress that the council has been making is not the progress on the critical issue. The things that you see here, those reports, is because of the push, because of being backed, because of being really taken to, but there are other critical decisions. I'll come to the issue of the MIG. The MIG of 29 million indicated a 40% expenditure. 40% expenditure. The equitable share, the grant dependency of that municipality, by the way, is 74% grant dependent. The revenue collection is sitting at 68%. Revenue collection, 68%. Growing our debt, sitting at 19. Projected revenue sitting at 166. And CAPEX sitting at 114. And the OPEX, or OPEX is 114, and the CAPEX is 45 million. And having a projected surplus, which is not there, of 70 million, which is not there. And I just want to take you through again that the grants are not cash back, as we talk. June 2014, as I said, the Treasury withheld its money. This is audited things I'm talking about. And if you look at 2014, the audited financials. What I want to also touch on members, is that there has been poor progress in the municipality. You can't have a situation where the national must then intervene because the province is failing to intervene. We are also exercising our duty because the constitution is very clear. If the provincial government fails its mandate, the national can intervene. So we have to intervene. And we have to be decisive in intervention. That's why we recommended this resolution. Because we believe, I always say to us, it's very expensive to have intervention. Very expensive. Emotionally draining, physically, and expensive to run. Because there are people who are paid to do the job, and those people are not doing their job. I always say, I'm not a counselor. I can't sit there and take decisions for you. It's the council that must take decisions. And if the council doesn't want to take decisions, what do? You've begged, you've given the board, you've done everything, but the council has just refused. And they refuse to exercise their executive obligation. They refuse, and they don't want to do it. As I said, that the Premier himself has been there. I think it was the first time for him to go to matters that are saying, to go and say to municipality, we are very disappointed with what you are doing. As I said, Chair, we made an assessment of the progress since the last time we were in municipality, and we gave municipalities the rundown of our assessment. And our rundown was that indeed leadership was very poor, and that the reporting on the IDP and the PMS was sitting at 17%, the service delivery is sitting at 45%, and the institutional backlog is sitting at 69%. And this is the progress, honourable members, that we gave to councillors. The plan for service delivery, we had done a turnaround plan that we indicate today that that's the one that every time we're supposed to make progress on that, there is no progress. What has changed is that the councillor doesn't want to change. That is what has changed. Because every time you go there, you talk. Councillors talk very nicely. They even tell you, yeah, no, we do play sometimes. Yeah, no, we think we're not doing things correct. But they are not changing, and they're not prepared to change. As I said, a lot of members think the changes have been done 6 times, and it shows the instability. I don't care who changes. And I'm still insisting on members, it's not about who's changing. It's about what is the right thing to do when you face with a situation where the service delivery has been compromised, And the last time I was with the municipality, they raised with me the issues of their unhappiness about Mkanyabude, about the areas where they needed Mkanyabude, and Mkanyabude has not been able to support them. And I then and there said, we are going to call a meeting with Mkanyabude. And we did call a meeting. And it was the first time. And I said to them, I wish every time you meet with me or every time you see, you then identify to say, housing department, province, they are not supporting us or they're not helping us with this. Mkanyabude water, you're not doing this for us. You're not. That's what they should be fighting about. But they don't fight about that. They just fight about the position. And the Mkanyabude is not about the position. Mkanyabude is about leadership, which is sober, which is doing what they are elected to do. So it's true. When the rest of the councillors remain behind and they elected the speaker, we never, why should we argue when things are done properly? They remove the speakers. They are, it's their democracy. That's how democracy is about. So we don't have an issue with that. We put it here to demonstrate that when things are done correctly, we don't challenge. But when things are done correctly, we do challenge them, okay? And we do it everywhere, not only in this municipality. And it would be a pity that the honorable members would want to send a signal that say people must do wrong things and they must be protected. We don't accept that, honorable member.
I'm not sure the reaction of the community. It was one question for us. The other one was the political instability. What guarantee that should you dissolve the next ensuing council, there will be instability?
Well, honorable members, I don't have any guarantees. The only thing I can guarantee is that the communities must see that the people that they entrusted with their vote last time did not help them. It's not up to me to say I can guarantee that the councillors are going to change, but what I can guarantee you would is the ones that were here have learned their lesson, hopefully. That's again guaranteed. The fact that we don't have a law, unfortunately, that say if you were part of the bringing the municipality into disrepute, you can't stand. I wish we had that law. And probably it's one thing that we need to look at in our laws, because you can have repeat offenders if you're not able to also be vigilant of how we craft our laws. Service delivery, as I indicated to our members, that we are having a meeting with the community. We are taking stock of all the issues regarding service delivery and where we need to intervene on service delivery. We are dealing with the issues at the provincial government level on service delivery.
Just a reminder, Honourable Deputy, the question was around the five cars that were attached. If there is an official that came to assist in terms of saying, what was the intervention from the head of the department regarding that particular challenge?
Well, Chair, the cars were taken because the municipality didn't pay their creditors, and they didn't even defend the matter when it went to court. And then the court ruled that the cars were attached. It's part of the charges that we said, they must bring charges to those officials.
Okay. Last from the side of myself as Chair, can I establish, you spoke about the forensic investigation that was done. What is progress in terms of the outcome? Any progress to date?
Well, part of the progress is the disciplinary action of the NM for failing in many instances in dealing with those. But the other challenge is the one that I was saying, that there were important decisions that council did not want to take in relation to disciplinaries. We did take the report to the police to lay charges on specific criminal areas. So that's how that we could only take it that far in terms of our powers.
Thank you very much, Honourable MC. Honourable members, I think this brings us to a stage where we need to conclude this matter. For purpose of making a recommendation to the NCOP, I'm not sure, Honourable Chief, you are already conversing on that. Mm-hmm. If that is the case, may I also make an emphasis. Our role as a committee is to ensure that we look at the issues of procedure,
We look at the issue of substantive evidence before us, and also the constitutionality of the matter that is before us for people of us making an informed decision. On that note, can I then afford Honorable Kaula, Honorable Chedi, and I'll allow others in terms of us arriving at the conclusion of this.
Mr. Pastor, just one thing I wanted to find out from the Honorable MEC. There's something around the MMS, the MMO suspension we pay, and what are the processes in respect of the churches, disciplinary hearings? Can you say something around that?
You cannot allow this as the last, Honorable Kaula. This is the last question to the MEC. Then the committee must conclude this matter for purpose of us finalizing the meeting. Honorable MEC.
Yes, Chair, the disciplinary, the MM was charged. He's on suspension with pay in terms of the law. The fact is he was set last year, and due to his illness, it was postponed to this year. So it's going to sit this in February.
Honourable members, the indication of the MEC in terms of the presentation, may I also bring to attention that there is an indication to say the Minister has already supported the introduction of Section 189 of Section 1C. And I must also bring to attention that when we refer to the issue of us making a decision within 14 days, the Act is very clear. The Constitution is saying the Minister are responsible or relevant or the NGOP. So as we engage on this matter, bear in mind that already the Minister has already supported the issue of the introduction of Section 139, subsection 1C, without necessarily channeling the committee. Now we'll change.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the MEC will be pleasantly surprised to note that we welcome the long overdue decision by the MEC to dissolve Matsubatuba in KZN. But the leader would like to place the funding on record, Chair. The MEC's failure to act and act decisively earlier further amplifies the concerns raised in the latest report from the first parliament that interventions are usually made far too late when the municipality is about to collapse. It is considerable effort to put the municipality on a stable footing. Yet if the intervention has been made earlier, when the first signs of failure emerged in 2012, it would have reversed the harm to service delivery, be less costly and be more effective. The DA believes that the invocation of Section 139 would be based on governmental intervention and not political intervention. This is raised in view of the fact that the MEC's decision on the 30th of January 2015, 7 days after the ANC NSC coalition has been degraded and the balance of power shifted to the ISP. The case in PEC is resolved to intervene in front of Section 139.1c. Because this council was under the ANC leadership, the MEC was willing to allow for the intervention in terms of Section 139.1b, initiated in September 2012, to be extended until March 2014. The MEC lacked the political will to place the interests of the community and service delivery failures ahead of dealing with the hunger that will destroy Matsubatuba by taking drastic steps to dissolve the council while it was still under the ANC leadership. The growing number of KZN municipalities and the provincial administration is evidence of the results of 4 cadres deployment by the majority party. The reality is that these failed cadres are redeployed to other spheres of government, while the citizens of the country continue to pay for incompetence. We implore the MEC to guarantee this House and residents of Matsubatuba that none of the current ANC councillors will be brought back, as was evidenced in the March final elections recently hosted. The DA once again expresses our concerns regarding the inability of the MEC to manage local government in this province. This action is typical of ANC's inability to grasp the need of timely intervention.
Can we afford an order?
What has been done by who checked his uncle? Because here we were just discussing the report, and I think we have gotten the stage to take a decision. And to allege to point fingers to the African National Congress, that is the matter. That's what I allow. He must just wait for that time, then we discuss the nitty-gritties of the report, not to come here and make a declaration.
No. It can't be order on top of order. Procedurally, it can't be. Can I afford Honorable Chedi to conclude what he's doing, but I just want to make it clear, Honorable Chedi, deal with the report that is before you.
Sure, Chair. Resolving another case in the municipality will advance a further burden on the taxpayer and also reflect on the lack of commitment to service delivery and improving the lives of the people of Cavan. We request that the NC ensures that investigation into the misappropriation of council coffers is done and that all those responsible for criminal charges laid against them for recovery of the funding. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get any other comment or input? But earlier on, you indicated that you support the resolution.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Zeman, you've been asked.
Thanks, Chair. We are now making declarations. So let me also come in and say that on behalf of the IFP, we do support interventions that are aimed at bringing order and stability into governance in the country. But we will not support interventions that are partial, which are aimed at suppressing other people over others just because the balance of power has changed. We look upon this Mtobadba intervention as the kind of intervention which is only triggered by the change in the balance of power, and therefore we not support it on that basis. We don't support it on that basis that it is partial. It is triggered by the change in the balance of power. But we do also want to go on Chairperson and assure you that even after 3 months, we'll still be there, and we'll ensure this time that we get a mandate that ensures that these things don't happen. And therefore, I can guarantee you that the councillors who are here today, they'll be back to see you and make
other
presentations.
Honorable Kaula, with due respect, I think I would always allow relevancy of the discussion. But again, we must not react councillors. There's an opinion, there's an act. So our duty is to concentrate on facts and not assign.
No, I'm not an interpreter. I'm sorry if there is any other.
No, let's not preempt the outcome of whatever that we have not yet concluded. Remember, we are just going to recommend to the NCOP for finalization of this next.
Thank you. And, Chairperson, I also want to thank you, yourself, and your office for allowing the Chancellor to also come and make a presentation. That was very good of you. It has never happened before. And keep up this kind of focus. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I give Honorable Manopoul?
Thank you, Chair. Before I contribute on the discussion, just want to raise, and then you should know the community, that Honorable Member, Honorable Kaula is a representative member of this committee. So we know that he can participate in the discussion, but the process of voting. If needed, and also what has raised the issue of declaration of the statement of his committee, his party in his committee also should be noted, because of his all senior member, that one should not be considered when we consolidate the report and finally. Just wanted to, we should not omit on that one. We know we have passed the committee, and then also the person has be indulging to be able to do that, and should but the record tables should not omit it. Thank you. And so we would like to welcome the report that has been presented to us by NEC, and also raise the issue that the Arab political parties have raised, the hypocrisy, saying that they welcome the report and the intervention. At the same time, raise the issues of political tensions at the expense of our community members. I just wanted to raise the issue that we understand we are politicians, we are playing politics here, but we cannot play politics at the expense of our members, our communities who are presenting here. We are presenting the provinces firstly. We should also forget that we represent provinces. We also know that, that we should not forget that. I wanted to highlight that. And appreciate mostly what the NEC has raised. Basically, NEC was shown that and displayed the discipline that she has visited the municipality. Be patient with the municipality. Numbers of trainings and meetings that has been shown, the effort of being here. I think maybe it's other municipalities as well as that the focus and the energy that the NEC has separated at this municipality might have seen that they are neglected with their regards. We hope then and say that she will also continue to be able to display the passion of the local government and also ensuring that the service delivery is being provided to all the municipalities, because the, she has to defend in the constitution with regards to the economic unity and the service delivery at the municipality, ensure that it's in place and implemented by ensure that to us, to myself as a province American, saying that yes, not deserve their duties compared to others. Council, I think they are raised by here by the members. They are saying that on continuous to this, they are raised that the other councils have created their duties. So we are saying that the disciplines and the MEC are saying that to be able to bring support and ensure that we will also continue to be able to do that, to the support to other municipalities to be, for the sake of the safety of our people. Thank you.
On the issue of introduction of settlements, what is your position?
Thank you, sir. We support the evolution of the section 189, 1C, noting that also the minister has also approved already that's the section. So we were here also to support, taking into consideration that the MCs have started first by involving section 91B and ensuring that by the effort that has been placed now, there's a need for her to evoke section 191C. So we do support as an MCH. Thank you.
Can I then lastly give the Honourable Zimande? I think there's been an indication from three people that have indicated, two in fact, that are in support of introduction of section 191C as a recommendation to the National Council of Foreigners. Can I give Honourable Zimande?
I thank you, Chair, and obviously being a delegate from KZN, my vote will be very clear at the Council when we report that we will be supporting the intervention. But it's important also to note in terms of the presentation itself, and what we've been doing with regards to, our role as the COCTA committee, and that is the compliance with the requirements, the NDP and otherwise, that all of us as public representatives are supposed to make sure that whatever it takes, we do deliver to our people. And that's it's an obligation in the Constitution. And, Chair, from the first presentation, without comparing, Chair, from the first presentation, there was an acknowledgement that there is an effect, there is an affection on the service delivery itself, that there were issues of governance that even in the first presentation were there. So, Chair, it couldn't be that then there are issues in terms of the political interventions, as these are political interventions. Also to note and record, Chair, that the interventions are made in terms of the legislation, and they are therefore within the framework and in the Intergovernmental Relations Act allows us to do that, and the Constitution. But, Chair, because there has been a political declaration that has been made attacking us, and therefore, Chair, we need to also put on record that the interventions in Beza, the action of the MEC in Beza is evident, Chair. It's been part since 2009. The letter of the report shows the number of interventions that have been made, and that's a demonstration of the interventions and the commitment of the MED and the provincial government to make sure that there's clean governance, that there's fighting against corruption that is observed. There have been cases of crime reported. So, Chair, on the basis of the evidence before us, as the African National Congress, Chair, I think we have done what we are supposed to do when the government, when government public representatives, Chair, are not performing and are not in conduct that is expected by the Constitution. And, Chair,
We've done it in the ANC, only municipalities. We will do it in municipalities, even where we are in coalition. Even in those municipalities, we've done it in the Western Cape. There's been extensions, there's been interventions in Old Zoran, in Swellendam, in the Western Cape, where we're not even running the same similar. So we cannot be accused of any partiality on these interventions, because we've conducted where we rule, we've conducted where others rule, we've conducted where others are in coalition with us, and the evidence is before the committee. As such, therefore, Chair, we, as I said, we have 12 days, so to speak, or 14 days, to handle the matter and report to it. They were the dinner will be on the 24th of February, Chair. That's the reminder to committee members that the dinner where we will be reporting finally will be on the 24th of February. I thank you, Chair. We support the intervention.
If you have a on this matter, most of you are former councillors, including the MEC. When you are telling me by a logger, I was telling you for a logger actually. But without any waste of time, allow me then to indicate that we have observed the presentation from the MEC. We have taken note of all necessary interventions that took place before they can even arrive to a conclusion of Section 1 and Number Section 1C. She has indicated to us that they did make an intervention in terms of MFMA 6137. Not only that, there was also intervention in terms of Section 1 and Number Section 1D. Apart from that, we have also observed out of the report presented for us or before us the introduction of Section 154, where the provision of social assisting in terms of capacity. Apart from that, we have had all the challenges we have had, also the achievement and the indication for that matter as an emphasis, that since the introduction of the intervention, there has been an improvement in terms of the disclaimer, the qualified to unqualified report that's presented by the MEC. I think it very in itself shows that even if there has been challenges, the intervention did yield some progress in that regard. But hey, I want us to point our resolution. The feeling that I've observed is that we are in support of Section 139 of Section 1C, and I have yet an indication of any view that is required. Not forgetting that if you are unfortunate, you may not vote or place on the record that you are having a different view in terms of the resolution. Can I establish those that are having a different view in terms of the introduction of Section 139 of Section 1C? I'm not considering the ordinance. So it means it's unanimous that all of you are in support of introduction of Section 139 Subsection 1C. Can I then make an emphasis? MEC continuous reporting. Can I also ask the House that we also place it as part of our recommendation to also see that we have regular reporting? How frequently should you get the report? No one? There's a suggestion that it must be quarterly, any agenda, any dissenting view. And it means we need to get also continuous progress report. A view is that it must be quarterly. But also, MEC, we must appreciate your effort to ensure that you also monitor closely and also give support where it arises. I think we have heard, we have resolved, it means unanimously as the committee, we are recommending that there should be an introduction of Section 139 of Section 1C as requested in terms of the notice and also supported by the Honourable Minister, Brazen Gordy. So in that note, it means the matter is closed with understanding that we recommend to the NCOP that we are in support of the committee of the dissolution of Mutuba Tuba Local Municipality. MEC?
Yes, Honourable Chair, thanks to Honourable Members. Just to note, Honourable Chair, that I think the committee might want to discuss those, because I think we might have, it might be a very bad precedent, Chair, that interested people. But also, you've got to think that otherwise then you're going to have delegations after delegations that are going to come and put their case before the Honourable House. And I don't think we would want to fall into that trap, especially because if people play politics, it ends up compromising over the objectivity of the issues at hand. I'm citing the case in point here because there's no council resolution or anything that says we want to make a representation to NCOP. Now, if you have other councillors who say we also want to make representation, all the 104 in this country, so you must know that you'll have to open the doors. I think we have to respect the institutions and the protocols that we have as history of the government in dealing with issues. I've noted, Chair, the basis of your acceding to this, but we must just put that on record, Chair, that especially as the province, we should have been advised that there is this representation because we would have given you other factors that would have made you to think twice.
Honourable MEC, we take note of what you are suggesting, but we still maintain the community has got the responsibility to give any interested person or institution a hearing, and I think that was in that context. However, we have also highlighted to the delegation that in most instances they must remember when we decide, we also take into consideration what is before us. One example, you would recall that the type of the municipality that we are dealing with is a collective type. Deliberately, when you're asking where's the municipal manager, deliberately, when you're making emphasis to the mayor that are you aware of your responsibility as the mayor and not as the executive mayor, it was just a sense to say, in most instances, decision at the level of the collective type of the municipality is the responsibility of the municipal council, not necessarily the mayor. It's unlike where you have the mayor on hand. But in any case, there's no way, Honorable MEC, that we can prohibit people if they feel like doing representation as stipulated in the constitution, because we fear a situation where tomorrow government will be seen as if we are not allowing or permitting people who want to come and do presentation before us. I think even if we allow them, that doesn't necessarily mean anything that they will raise would totally agree to it. I'm just saying the government for the people, by the people. Hence you are also emphasizing that in the Freedom Charter there was an emphasis to say a government on the will of the people would never claim authority unless based on the will of the people. So it was in that context that we allowed them to come and participate in this discussion. And I'm not necessarily creating any precedent, but we're simply saying whatever that they presented was relevant to their case, whatever that the NEC presented is relevant to a particular case. In that context, can I ask Honorable Zimanda just to do a last word of thanks to the NEC?
No, it's just we take the MEC at all times. She's available to present to us. And I think in the last meeting, Chair, she committed that she giving volunteer officials at any time, even if she's not available, to come and present to us. And I hope she's still holding to that principle that she left us with when we're dealing with more important municipality. I also thank the committee members. I hope they still have time to go and have their hairs sorted and hairstyles sorted, suits and everything else.
It's tomorrow.
I'm hoping that they have time, Chair, to go and do things. So, but as I said, Chair, they will be meeting next week. They look at their programs. The COCTA is meeting again next week on a different matter. And on the 24th, Chair, we are also having a sitting. So on that note, Chair, we thank everybody and your staff for leading us. And on voyage to the MEC and the entourage.
Honorable Chair, you are the last, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we'll be failing in our duty, not also placing on the call our thanks and appreciation to those councillors who felt that the on-boss, some person would have to make a presentation. Bear in mind that it is not just a case. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Allow me then to conclude the meeting with the understanding that all of us, you're welcome. We really appreciate your fruitful input and engagement, your patience on it. And also, to place it on record, Honorable Zimande, I really welcome my wife, Nesasa Mohadu, who is part of the proceeding from the gallery down there. You are welcome to the delegation that has accompanied you. Can you stand up, Mohadu? Zimande, can you see my wife, my father? Thank you very much. The meeting is officially closed.